The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Hi, this is me again, and this part is what we call the fade, where the record gets softer and softer, and the disc jockey usually comes in and starts talking over it.
Ah, oh, it's the Peter Talk version. Look out, here comes tomorrow. Think maybe Sunday, gonna be watching Head, maybe watch some Monkees episodes. Maybe not, might be too sad. Might be too sad. Couldn't listen to the Monkees for ages after David died. Saturday, I'm going 4 hours away. I don't quite know where it is I'm going. It's 4 hours away to go and interview Nick Jones, which I'm very, very excited about. I'm not going to stay. They very kindly invited me to stay. I think I'm going to go do it and hang out a little bit and have a little look around the area and then probably come home. Makes it a long old drive, but I feel very discombobulated at the moment. I think the discombobulation is not the fault of me falling off the scooter. I think it's what caused me to fall off the scooter, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Just not feeling where I am. I've started taking the pills again this week. It's day three today. I forgot to take one today, of course. But it's day three, and so they're making me just feel a little bit queasy and a little bit time travel-y.
But I remember you always say that, you know, the driving is the canary in the coal mine, isn't it?
Good evening, dear listener. This is the Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee and Spontaneous.
Barbara Streisand.
There we go, you see. You can give us a call. That's what I like about you is your speed. Comedy is all about timing. 03...
Good one.
There we go. 03444991000. You can call us about absolutely anything you want. If you know anything about the... what was that? What would you say that letter was called?
They call it the Steel Furnace.
The Steel Furnace letter. If you know anything about that, 03444991000. We're talking about failure. Failed my not motorbike test, like it's like the scooter test. Failed it today, and I was really sure I'd passed it. I booked another one in March the 15th. But let's celebrate failure. Let's embrace failure, for crying out loud. And you know the score. You can call in about anything you want. 03444991000. Hey, this Jussie Smollett story.
It's insane, isn't it?
I was going to mention it the other day, right? He's this actor. I've never heard of him. I don't know the television programme he's in.
Empire. Yeah.
I've never seen it. And he got... he came out and got... He's gay and he's black, and it's relevant to this. He got beaten up in the street, had a noose put around him, had petrol or bleach put on him. I've heard two different things. And was told this is a MAGA country, you know, so it links in with Trump. And then quite early on, it was like a big thing, and loads of people on the left... Double N, because I didn't rip you apart last time. You call in if you want, but I don't think we're going to be able to make your gig. But call in. I can't really have conversations via text. And don't text Catherine because she can't see the screen. 03444991000. Loads of people on the left were going, well, this just shows that Donald Trump's America is full of scumbags and he has enabled racists and homophobes to do hate attacks in the street. And then quite early on, a few people were suggesting that this Jussie Smollett had faked it. And I was going to mention this early in the week when I first saw it. But I thought I won't mention it because, and this shows where my bias is and my prejudice is. I thought I won't mention it because it's more than likely that this is kind of a backlash and people are saying he faked it just because he's a black gay man and it's, you know, it's an easy kind of smear to do. And I thought, I don't really want to get involved.
Also, it's the fake news defence, which is used all the time.
Yeah, yeah. What? Hang on, what?
Well, they say fake news didn't happen. Prove it happened.
Yeah,
all that
yeah.
kind of stuff.
So I thought, well, it's, you know, this guy's no black man is going to make up having a noose put around their neck and, so I'm not going to jump on this. I'm not going to even, not even going to mention it because we're playing into the hands of the alt-right, of the InfoWars guys. Anyway, it's looking more and more likely that he faked it. That he paid... First of all, he said it was two white guys that did it. And now it would appear it was two Nigerians, I think, two black guys.
Yeah, that he knew.
That had been extras on the TV show. They are saying he paid them by check. Flipping heck, man. Listen, if you're gonna do something dodgy-bodsky, cash. Cash is king. Use notes. Untraceable. Hand it over whilst wearing gloves.
Also... If you're going to fake a race hate crime, I'm afraid you're going to have to hire actors to type.
You're going to have to get some white guys.
Because there's CCTV.
But there's no CCTV of this. This is another thing that the coppers have come out and said, there's no CCTV of this. So, it's... And I'm finding it fascinating. Now, he has got the same lawyer that defended Winona Ryder of her shoplifting. Another couple of really big... Can you see who the lawyer is? He's done a couple of big... celebrity cases. And they're now saying, and I don't know where this comes from. I think maybe this comes from the Nigerians. I'm being very careful because I don't want to kind of propagate fake news and stuff. But I've heard this on the news. And I think this comes from the Nigerians that he supposedly paid. That he was unhappy with his salary for being in this series. So he wanted to create more of a buzz about him so he was more bankable. So he was worth more money. So he'd get sympathy for being a victim of a hate crime, a racist and homophobic attack. That would raise his profile and he'd get more money. And I really don't know what to... I don't know what to make of this. I don't know what to make of it. So at the moment, I'm kind of going along with the cops and going, well, this is probably a fake, fake thing until we prove otherwise. He's out of the show. He's been booted out of the show. He had two more episodes to film, and I think he's been written out. But I mean, what a bizarre, strange thing to do. Why would anybody think this was a sensible idea? He found this lawyer.
I'm looking it up. There's a lot of quotes from his legal team. Let me find the name.
He's done loads of celebrity cases. Winona Ryder. What was the other one?
Mark Garagos.
No, I don't know.
He's represented celebrities including Winona Ryder, Michael Jackson and Chris Brown.
Oh, OK, there you go. The bad boys of rock and roll. Well, we certainly know that Winona Ryder was guilty.
Yeah, and Chris Brown. I mean,
it's a very peculiar one. I mean, I just don't understand how anyone could think that would work. And he did. There's a great interview with him on Good Morning America or whatever. I don't know the name of the programs. I don't live there. And he's doing his very earnest, this I will forever be the guy that this happened to. I mean, they put a noose around a black man's neck and who could do such a thing? He's a good actor.
God, imagine
he's faking
imagine
it. He's a good actor.
The balls of the man to do something like that.
Yeah, very, very.
If indeed he has faked it.
It's
not looking great,
Let's say he has. Let's say he has and be done with it. So the new James Bond, it's not called this, but Shatterhand.
What?
Shatterhand.
He Shatterhand.
Oh my God. This is the working title of the new James Bond film, Shatterhand.
No, you can't call it that.
Shat a hand? What? Shatterhand. No one in the meeting, right? It's not what it's going to be called. It's the working title. But in the meeting, go, okay, so we've got the working title. We're going to call it Shatterhand. Everyone happy with that? No one goes, you know, that sounds like a man just shit a hand out of his bum hole.
Also, this is a show with a history of giving characters funny names like Plenty O'Toole, Pussy Galore, Shatterhand. Sounds like his magic power.
Well, I mean, I suppose you could technically. There must be some people into that.
Oh my God!
Not me. It leaves a terrible taste in my mouth. But Shatterhand.
No, please, no, guys, you can't call it that.
I'm just going through the notes I made. R. Kelly.
Had his collar felt.
It's time up. For R. Kelly.
Although we have been here before.
Oh, he's gonna get done. R. Kelly, he's up with 10 charges of, I guess, I'm going to do the air conditioning, it's very hot. 10 charges of gross indecency and assault. I'm guessing it's something like that. It was a matter of time. Oh, dear. What's going on? What's going on in the world?
10 counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse. Some involving underage victims.
Well, it looks like that television documentary opened the sluice gate. Maybe not the floodgates, the sluice gate. And let that scumbag But yeah, it's a weird world we're living in at the moment, isn't it? Isn't it? Strange times. Someone phone us up and cheer us up. Come on, guys.
Yeah, it's looking really bleak.
Bleak. Bleak. It's very, very bleak. 0344 499 1000, the late night alternative with Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
Unmissable late night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
The late night alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Lines are empty. That's fine, that's fine. We'll work with that. The man with the tooth growing in his nostril.
I found that one too.
Rare condition left the 59-year-old with a blocked nose for 2 years. Now, here's the thing. Quite often when people die and they cut them open, there's teeth inside them. Teeth grow... No, I mean, I say quite often. I mean, no, it's not... I mean, it's relatively rare. But you do hear stories of they cut people open and... Or the worst one is they cut someone open and there's teeth and hair in there.
Yeah, the twin.
The twin is inside them. That does... That actually happens. Hi, Ian. I saw a fake news article about you falling down a well with a neck brace. Surely that was just nonsense for publicity, David Wells. No, that's not true. That's an untrue... That is fake news. I did not fall down a well with a neck brace. I fell down a well and then had to wear a neck brace as a direct result of that, Dave. So I'm always happy to clear that up. The unidentified man had also lost some sense of smell and had discharge. Discharge is such an unpleasant word. Specialists removed... God, the Daily Mail website has got so many pop-ups. Dear God. The specialists removed a tumour in the nose, which was found to contain a tooth. It could happen due to face trauma, but there was no evidence in this case. Face trauma? Like a smack in the face? Gosh, is that what it means?
So your teeth grow upwards.
A 59-year-old man had a tooth growing in his nostril because... Oh, my God, and there it is. Because of a rare condition which left him with a blocked nose for 2 years. The strange growth... called an intranasal retained tooth, God. Or a nose tooth, can be caused by physical damage or development problems, but doctors couldn't explain this case. After doing scans and investigations to try and work out what the growth was, doctors removed it during the surgery and discovered it was an entire tooth. Ay, ay, ay. Growing a tooth in the nostril is rare. All right. And it's thought to affect somewhere between 0.1% and 1% of the population. It's not that rare, but can go unnoticed. The report was published in the journal BMJ Case Reports, included pictures which clearly show a pearly white tooth inside the unnamed man's nose.
Yeah, and that made me think maybe you don't have to brush your teeth.
You sort of cover it in bogey.
Oh, my God. How could you not know it was up there?
The man who saw doctors at the ear, nose and throat unit at University Hospital Aarhus had been suffering from a blocked nose and loss of sense of smell over the past couple of years. He also had a regular milky discharge.
Flipping heck, man.
Coming from the left nostril. After topical nasal steroids, sprays to reduce swelling, had failed to solve his problems after a month, he saw a doctor. It can easily be missed, the doctors, led by Dr. Milos Fugschlang, wrote. Diagnosis is important since it can potentially cause disease. A scan revealed the man's nose... There's... Oh, look, so they removed a tumour and the tooth was inside.
Yeah.
A scan revealed the man's nose was crooked to one side and there was a mass growing in his nasal cavity. Doctors suspected it was a cyst or even a tumour and decided to operate and pull the growth out. Previous case reports have described this condition happening when normal teeth are displaced after facial trauma, infections or developmental problems such as cleft palates. They found the man has broken his jaw and nose when he was younger, which had needed surgery to reconstruct, but they couldn't find any link between the two. This is freaky, man! The doctors added, our patient most likely had the intranasal retained tooth, or nose tooth, most of his life, but had late onset of symptoms. The patient was fine within a month after he used a nasal saline irrigation. I love a nasal saline irrigation. You ever had one?
I used to use them on the babies.
So cleansing. It's wonderful. Intranasal teeth, or nose teeth, are a rare finding, but important to recognise since nasal congestion, chronic discharge and hyposmia can decrease quality of life.
God, imagine.
Dirty, dirty. What a dirty man. Dirty, dirty.
There's no chance my youngest has got one up there. She'd have found it by now. It's got a finger up her nose.
Someone's replied, radiation. Is it radiation?
Well, in the comments, yeah. All the doctors.
Just as macabre, it's not unknown for a cancerous growth to have teeth and hair.
Shut up.
That's what someone says in the comments of the Daily Mail.
Cancerous growth of teeth and hair.
Wow. That is like another human being trying to come out
as
cancer.
But people do absorb twins, don't they, in the womb?
Yeah, they do.
You'd never know.
Gosh. I don't know. It's a strange old world. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio. 03444991000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Don't forget, it's quiet on the busy the first hour, quiet the second hour. That's the way it goes sometimes. It's Friday night. Not everyone wants to call in on a Friday night. That's absolutely cool. We are talking about failure. If you want to share your stories of failure, and maybe if you turned it into success, then that's something. But if not, don't worry about it. We're talking about this weird letter basically saying that I'm dying because I've eaten meat and I need to burn and become a statue or something like that. Very strange. It was I texted Watco. Watco wouldn't have sent it. Watco wouldn't have sent it.
It's very odd. It's the second weird letter you've had there.
What was the first one?
You had that postcard.
Oh, shoot, yeah. Does someone know where I live? Oh, God.
How could they?
Well, they might have followed me home. I mean, that writing is the writing of a lunatic.
Yeah, deranged. It's one step away from someone cutting out a newspaper.
It's not quite crayon.
No, but I think they've used a ruler.
They've definitely done lines. Yeah. But the L's, the letters are very straight. That is, that's weird, man. That's weird. Yeah. Am I going to get murdered?
Don't think so.
Okay. All right. Well, it's okay. Well, I hope I do now.
Hang on, we can find out.
Oh, yes, you got magic eight ball.
Because you were going to bring your tarot cards in, so I thought I'd go science.
Yeah, I got my tarot cards.
Use the magic eight ball. So what question are you asking?
Will I get murdered?
Absolutely.
Oh, shoot, man. Well, let's just hope that it's not Stephen. You're not going to murder me, are you, Stephen?
No.
Good. Well, that's okay. Well, that's. I mean, it's a some opening question, but as long as the answer is no, you sound like a trustworthy gentleman, Stephen. I will take your word for it. Please come into my house and use my spare bedroom. Here's my collection of knives.
Didn't I put full stops in the letter?
Exactly. What you got for us, Stephen?
I've been listening to the podcast for a long time.
Oh, bless you, man. Thank you. We appreciate that.
I work early in the morning, so I usually go to my bed about 10, and you guys put me to sleep.
Well, what are you doing up at this time of night then, you lunatic? You're going to be knackered tomorrow.
I'm phoning for a reason.
Uh-oh.
Well, two.
Does he want money?
No.
Okay.
I've been trying to find out what's happening with Day 5, season 3.
Oh, yeah. Day 5.
I can't find any information.
I can't remember the guy's name. My name's gone blank. The producer, Jess, Joss, Jeff.
What
was his name?
I can't remember his name.
He's been on the show. He's a friend of the show. Josh Flanagan. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Sam.
Josh Flanagan, the producer. Right, it's a brilliant, brilliant series.
A great showbiz mate.
And he was gonna do season 3 of Day 5. Me and Kath were gonna get a part in it. We were gonna go over to the States in Phoenix, I think it was somewhere like that. We're going to see Ian Canfield in Phoenix if he's there.
Texas, wasn't it?
Texas. And we were going to go and do like a week of shows. And do you know what? It's funny you should mention that, Stephen, because I've been thinking for the last couple of weeks, I should really email Josh and find out if they have a date. Because if they have, we can start booking in our week abroad to do a show, this week of shows from America. Because I'm thinking it would be nice to kind of sort something like that out. So I don't know, Stephen, but. I'm gonna WhatsApp him this very... Hang on, if I've still got his number. Hang on a minute. I'm gonna WhatsApp him. I'm going to WhatsApp him. We're going to find out.
Well, through your podcast, I listened to the one when you had him on.
Yeah.
And I watched it. It was brilliant.
It's good,
brilliant. I've been itching for season three for a long time.
I'm going to phone him up.
I look on the internet and I can't find nothing.
I'm phoning him up. Let's phone him up. I'm not having this. I'm not having Stephen waiting around. Oh,
do you know something? I actually joined Twitter just to add you and these guys to find out more information. Well, I get nothing.
I've deleted Twitter.
I don't
now.
Understand
right,
how it works.
Here we go. Let's phone up Josh. Is that fade is open? Is it okay? Let's get Josh on the show.
Here we go.
I mean, I bet he answers the phone with a barrage of swear words. He's quite...
What time is it there?
Who cares? Be like afternoon. Be mid-afternoon. Come on, Josh.
God, he might be filming. We might be ruining it.
Well, if he is filming...
Hey, this is Josh. I am clearly incapable of answering my phone at the moment, but if you leave me in the... I will tell him something. Back.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, Josh, you're a piece of trash. It's Sal from Sal's Diner in New York City. I'm only kidding. It's Ian Lee. Catherine's here.
Hello.
And we have Josh. We're on air, and we've got Stephen with us who's just called in. Stephen, you can ask Josh directly.
Josh, we're dying to know. The nation and Great Britain is dying to know what's happening with season 3 of...
Day 5.
Day 5.
He phoned up and he forgot the name. Oh, no. Josh, we need to know what's happening.
Press 1 to listen to your message.
Nope.
Press 2
that'll
to
do.
Erase.
There we go.
I think we'll get the message there.
Yeah. Stephen, I can't believe you froze.
I'm tired.
I know you are. As soon as we know, Stephen, we'll let you. I'll send him a little WhatsApp as well because he's not got my new number, and we will let you know, brother. Thank you, mate.
Cool.
Cheers. Bye-bye. Oh, go
second
on.
Second thing.
Yeah?
I went to the Flying Duck today to get tickets, and I can't get tickets.
Oh, you've got to get them.
Does it have to be through... So I don't trust online.
It has to be.
Thing.
It has to be. This is the show that we're doing in Glasgow. We've sold 50% of the tickets, right?
It's a cool venue, by the way.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. Our friend Graham's told us all about it. Yeah, they don't sell tickets, and we can only do it through my website.
Right, okay, so I have to get a friend to do it for me then.
Get a friend to do it. IanLee.com/event. There's 30 tickets left.
All right, cool, so I better get on it then.
Stephen, do it, man. I look forward to meeting you, brother. Thank you, mate.
You too, guys.
Cheers, bye-bye.
Bye, Stephen. Bye.
Yeah, we're doing the show. 50% of the tickets are gone for Glasgow. We've got 20 tickets left for Manchester. They're in May and June. And then the end of June, we've sold like 25% of the tickets for a show in London that we've not even really mentioned. And we've got loads left for Shaftesbury in July. If you want tickets, Belfast isn't up yet. I need to... they seem to be taking their time, which is fine. If you go to ianlee.com/event, IanLEE.com/event, all the ticket links are up there. When there's a link for the Kelsey Grammer thing, I'll put that up there as well. Let's go to... Now, is it Lisa or Liza or Lisa?
It's Liza, Ian. How are you? Hi,
Hi, Liza.
Very, very well. I don't think I've ever spoken to a Liza before.
It's Wilson's mum.
Oh, I've spoken to a Liza. I'm just putting that gap in because it sounds like Eliza Doolittle. hello, Liza.
Hi. Listen, I used to work in minor surgery and take cysts out, and I can tell you they do grow teeth and hair.
Wow.
It's gruesome.
So hang on a minute. So just right. So a cyst is like a growth, yeah?
Well, you get various types of cysts.
Yeah.
The ones more with the teeth and the hair are taken out in proper surgery.
Yeah.
So, but I've seen the videos and I've been in there when they've done it. It's amazing. It's gruesome.
Do you do that thing where you kind of put one finger in your mouth, turn away, and then slap your other hand? So would the cyst be external or would it be inside the body?
Inside. The ones with the teeth and everything will be inside the body.
And how many teeth, how much hair? Is there an eye?
Oh, no. Yes, you can get eyes.
Shut up! No! No! I was joking!
Is it blinking?
No!
Google it. It's amazing. But the hair, it's like a proper hairball with teeth. It's like... you can get a good set of teeth, a couple of teeth in there.
And would that be an absorbed twin from, you know, embryonic times?
Or could they have eaten something as a baby?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I know there's a thing with the twins, but it's also the body just creates things with the calcium and everything that we build up.
Oh, my God. And it forms teeth.
Yeah, it's amazing. Google it. You'll see them on Google.
I'm Googling
it's incredible.
It. Oh, I don't mind.
They don't come as a set of teeth. You'll just see the odd two.
Removal of dermoid cyst with six teeth.
Six?
Yeah. So, oh, God. Oh!
So they've just burst this sort of little sack.
Oh! It's pulling the sack out of... I don't know where that is.
It's very pink.
Oh, God, it looks like a ball sack. Where is that? Just cut it away. Hang on a minute. Let's just jump forward. I want to see these bad boy teeth. Let's jump. This goes on for flipping ages. God, this is like...
This is keyhole surgery, though, isn't it? That they've got, like, remote instruments going on.
All right, mate.
Fascinating.
He's sewing
there's
it up.
Hair coming out.
Oh, there's hair! Oh, jeez! He's burst the sack and there's hair!
What?
Oh, no, no, no! Oh, no, no, no! No, no, no! No, 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 no!
Oh, my God.
Oh, God! He's having to root around. What's he going to pull out? Finger going like that. No! Oh, no, no, no!
It's the most... Wow. It's disgusting, but I can't stop watching it. They got it, look.
It's
got a blood supply and everything.
Oh, God! Liza, this is horrible. Why are you making me watch this?
I love being in surgery watching this. It's great.
Oh, God, I nearly swore then. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio. By the way, the soundtrack for the new Frank Sidebottom documentary is available for pre-order. It's not on Amazon yet because they're idiots. But if you go to... where's the website? Is it Keymail? Keymail Order. keymailorder.co.uk and type in Frank Sidebottom. Let me just check that works, actually, because I hate to send you somewhere. Being Frank, the soundtrack. There's a limited edition picture disc, 500 copies. It looks stunning. And there's a not limited edition CD, which also looks stunning. But buy the picture disc, please. But if you go to keymailrecords.com, keymailrecords.com or .co.uk and type in Frank Sidebottom or Being Frank, then it pops up. I would suggest getting your orders in quickly because the album is going to sell out. That much is true. Let's go to Marilyn. Good evening, Marilyn.
Hello, Ian. Hello, Kath.
Hello, Marilyn.
What can we do for thee this evening?
Well, it's just you were talking about the cyst with the hair and the tooth.
Yes.
Well, I had that operation in 1967 when I was 21.
Wow, could they do operations that far back?
I had one of them cysts in me ovary.
Oh, blimey, oh, the old ovary cyst, the OC.
And I had to take me ovary and fallopian tube away.
Oh, no!
And the surgeon told us that it had hair in the tooth and it was probably my twin.
Oh, flipping egg, man. When you hear something, right, that's a horrendous operation to go through, and I'm sorry you had to go through that. But when you hear...
I was 21.
When you hear something like that, though, you had a bit of your twin inside you.
Yeah.
That you obviously never became a fully fledged human being. How on earth does that make you feel?
I've never bothered. It's just nothing bothers you when you're 21.
No. Did you not... I mean, I would be tempted to give it a name. Is that, I don't know, is that a rude thing to say? Is that rude of me to say that?
You can say what you like, Ian.
Oh, well, there you go. You're a very kind woman, Marilyn. And have you found any teeth anywhere else inside your body, or is it just there?
Well, the only thing was, I never got second teeth in four places in my front teeth.
You still got milk teeth?
At the top. I didn't get any second teeth.
Oh.
Till I was 21.
Hey, flipping it.
As well. And now I went round all the dentists and asked them if they would. Well, I still had little baby teeth and they looked daft.
Yeah.
So
they would.
So the dentists wouldn't take them out them days because there was nothing wrong with them. But then I got the hospital at Newcastle did them and they found that four teeth were upside down in the gums. They were grown upwards.
Oh, my word. You're a medical miracle.
I am. And I'm still here.
So what did they, how did they rectify that?
They just had to pull them out, take the roots, the second teeth out of the gums and stitch them up and put some little false teeth in.
Oh, wow.
I was only 21.
I bet you can still hear the sound, if you concentrate, of those teeth being pulled from your head, can't you?
It's a long time ago.
That's the noise it makes. You're having teeth. I had so many teeth taken out as a kid because they were all over the shop, and it makes that noise.
Oh my god!
Inside your head. Wow, Marilyn, you're incredible.
Them days, I wasn't frightened. Now, when I go, I have a lot of health problems, and now I'm more frightened than I was when I was young.
Oh, mate, I'm sorry to hear that. We should sell you to Ripley's, believe it or not. I know they're making they're rebooting the Twilight Zone. I'll give them your phone number.
Unfortunately, they fixed her.
Oh, Marilyn, well, thank you for sharing that. That's an incredible story.
I thought when I was listening, oh, that's my sister.
Your sister.
I never thought after you got that, you said you got it on Google. I thought, oh, I don't know whether I dare ring him and tell him I had that.
Oh, it's did you keep the hair? Did you keep the teeth? Did you bury them? Did you put them in the box? Make a little dolly out of them?
Stop it.
Okay.
I didn't even know I was going to be opened up or anything.
Oh.
All they told us then, I mean, 1967, they didn't tell you very much.
No, they were all on acid listening to Sergeant Pepper.
He just said he was going to examine us under anaesthetic. Well, I never thought I was going to be putting that to him down.
Wow, so he went in and took your ovaries out, but he didn't tell you beforehand that that's what was going to happen. That's incredible.
No. He said when he came round to my bed afterwards, he says, I've had to take your right ovary and fallopian tube away.
Aye, flipping it.
And I was just 21. I'd been married 3 years. And I've had 3 miscarriages.
Oh, man, you've had a life, Marilyn.
I've had a lovely life, Ian.
Okay.
I've had two lovely husbands, and unfortunately, they both died, but I've had a good life. Eh?
I'm just being facetious. I'm saying the Black Widow strikes again.
There's nobody who'll take us on after.
We've still got time for a third, haven't you?
No, I'm 74 now. And
my grandma got married in her 70s. Never say never.
Well, if I was fit enough to get out, but I haven't been out of the house since a month before Christmas because I had some eye operations.
Get on the internet, they deliver these days.
Get yourself a nice Russian fella or a Polish fella. Get them sent over. A few quid would be worth it.
I'm very fussy.
I bet you are. Hey, listen.
32 years with one lovely man and 20 years with another.
Wow, that's incredible.
And they were I just want somebody to do me garden. Do me DIY.
Is this a euphemism or...?
No.
your garden, what are we talking about? Front or back? No.
Oh, stop it.
Okay. All right, Marilyn. Well, you never know who's listening. Maybe Alan Caddick's listening and we'll give him your details.
Oh yes. Who was the one whose birthday it was on Saturday? It was...
That was Alan Caddick.
Yeah. That was Alan,
It was my birthday on Saturday as well.
Oh, you see, meant to be.
Exactly.
I've got the same birthday as him.
Star-crossed lovers. You and Marilyn and Alan sitting in a tree. Hey, listen, Marilyn, thanks for that. It's nice to talk to you.
Okay, then. Look after yourself.
See you later on. Take care. Bye-bye. I like Marilyn.
I've got a real soft spot for her.
She's a great call. Mm-hmm. We've got loads of calls now all of a sudden. Let's go to Jan. Good evening, Jan.
Hi.
Hello, Jan.
Hello. I was going to talk to Catherine.
I'll sit back. I will listen in, but you talk to Kath.
Okay. You spoke to Alec, my boyfriend, last night.
Oh, yes, I did.
Yes, I was there.
Alec told me the most extraordinary story.
Yeah, well, I was there too.
So, you were the girlfriend in question. You were not on the right side of the ghost.
No, but she didn't like me. I think it was a she. She didn't like me at all.
Incredible.
She didn't want me there.
This goes through jam, Ian.
Go on.
A pot of jam across the table.
Oh, there's all sorts going on. It was quite scary, actually.
I bet. So, you know, yeah, for you to leave a nice house after 3 months because you couldn't live there anymore, there's got to be something going on.
Yeah, well, it belonged to my cousin, and we were staying there, or Alec was staying there anyway, and I stayed over, and we woke up in the morning and we were chatting and we heard this enormous crash. I said, what on earth was that? It sounds like someone's thrown a huge bunch of keys, like really old big keys to a castle through the letterbox and they'd landed on the floor. That's what it sounded like. And when he went downstairs, he found all these coins that he'd put on the side, to, like he does, on a little table, and they were all over the floor.
Incredible.
And we just said, well, that's weird.
Incredible. And it was like leaving him gifts, little polished pebbles.
Yeah. He used, it was like a little room that had a washing machine in, I think. And he used it as a dark room. And when he'd go in there in the morning, there'd be all these funny little things left, like little trinkets, little semi-precious stones and little pins that you put posters on a board with. It's just really weird.
Honestly, I'm really cynical about this stuff, but the way he told it last night, I believed it.
These two
don't be cynical.
I leave you alone for one night, Kath. You get sucked in by the Moonies.
They're not winding me off.
You're going to be getting married in a football stadium next. And did it stop when you moved?
It went to live in Wales, in Wales.
It went with a friend of ours.
Right, I was suspicious.
And his wife turned up, right. And for some reason, it's the little person latched onto them and they took it home with them.
I wonder.
Is it true they stopped talking to you?
We had no more problems after that. Nothing else happened after that. Yeah, it was really weird.
Did it happen when the little boy was staying with you?
No, it was a little girl.
Right.
I think we found out it was supposed to have been a little girl who died.
Okay. Right.
And but we didn't know that at the time. But we found out afterwards. Wow. And this little person went home with them and left little fingerprints and little handprints all over the place there.
Kathy, are you buying this?
I am.
Wow.
Luckily, we said goodbye to her, but we were quite relieved, I can tell you.
Did you not, like, do a Ouija board or anything?
No, we don't go in for that.
No.
No, I did that when I was a kid and that happened. No, you don't go there. There's no control. You don't know who the hell's going to come through. And, idea.
Or it's just fingers on a bit of wood.
Yeah, but it's not a good idea because there's no control. You don't know who's going to come through.
Okay. All right, Jen. Well, thank you for...
It's a good idea, anyway.
Thank you for giving us the details.
Please don't play.
Okay. Well, thanks for giving us the details on that.
Incredible.
That's okay.
You spooky. Better not be haunting the show now. Better not have dropped a ghost off. Thank you, Jen. Thank you very much indeed. 0344-499-1000. I don't believe a word of it.
It's the way he told it last night.
It's unlike you to get sucked into that.
No, and that's because he was really credible.
Let's go to Mo. Good evening, Mo.
Good evening, man.
Oh.
How are you?
Hello, Mo.
I'm good.
I didn't ask.
Can you play a bit of that album, please, that you're trying to sell?
Sorry?
Can you please play a bit of that album that you're trying to sell?
Play it?
Yes, please.
No, thanks.
Play a sample.
Why?
Because if you're trying to sell something, I want to hear it first to buy it.
Oh, gee. Do you know what, Mo? It's not for you. I don't want you. I forbid you from buying it.
Why?
Because it's not for you. It's from a talented artist, and I don't think you'd appreciate it.
I appreciate music probably.
You don't know how to. You don't appreciate how to use a telephone properly. We can't hear you now.
Maybe just get a better speaker.
What? I can't hear you, man. You got one more chance. If I can't hear this next line, you're getting cut off. Speak properly into the phone.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I said, get a better speaker then.
No, it's not the speaker. It's you using the phone like an absolute bell cheese. We're not using speakers here. We're using a headphone, so we can hear every minute.
I'm trying to be nice.
No, you're not. You're not. You're being a bell again. You haven't called us for 8 months, and then you phone in. You come back with ringing like a gooden.
Please play that album. I want to buy it.
Is your voice broken?
No, my voice isn't broken. But
it's deeper than it was before. You sound like a man. I mean, an idiot of a man, but you sound like a man.
Really, I only called you 2 months ago.
Well, this is what happens. It's puberty, man. It happened.
Yeah. Can you please play a bit of that album?
No, I'm not. Come on. Not going to.
This call seems to be going well.
Sorry?
this call seems to be going well, I said.
It's a good one for you, yeah, it's a good one for you. But no, we're not playing that record. What's your next point?
Yeah, I'd say good show. Better than usual, but really good today.
There you go. You see, Mo, it's because we listened to your criticism, we've taken it on board, and we've upped our game for you, Moses.
Thank you, man.
You're very welcome. Yeah. Thanks for your call, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, see you, man.
Yeah, bye. Don't fall down anything, will you? That guy. Giselle, Matthew, Sally. Sally will be next because you've been waiting for ages. We've got Sally, then we've got Dean, then we've got Matthew, then we've got Giselle, because that's the order they came up on the screen. We will come to you after the news. If you can stick around, that's great. If you can't, well, that's, you know, hey, listen, that's life. We're all on a journey, and some journeys last a little bit longer than others, and that's absolutely fine. I won't give up the phone number because we've got these four people. If you know it, you're welcome to call in. You can call in about anything. This is your fault, by the way, anyway. We had half an hour of no calls, and you all call in at once. What do you expect us to do? You can call in about anything. If you've had bits of your body removed and they had teeth and hair in there, we want to know about that. Well, that seems to be the thing.
That's enough, isn't it?
The thing, really. This is the late night alternative. You can listen to me and Catherine every single weeknight. Between 10 p.m. and 1 a.m. Listen on DAB, download the app, or talkradio.co.uk.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Good evening, Alan.
Hiya, boss.
Hello, Alan.
Are you alright?
I'm fine, thank you, mate. What have you got for us tonight?
I am officially off the market.
What, were you for sale?
Well, I've got a girlfriend.
Shut the front door.
Yes, I have.
Now, because these... Have they brought the price of these sex bots down, then?
No, it's an actual girl.
Wow, OK. When you say girl, age?
About the same age as me.
So, old. That's a relief. Tell us more, Alan. Tell us more.
Where did you meet?
Her name's Abby.
And she works as a travel agent.
You were working as a travel agent when I met you in Birmingham.
So at least I know who to book with for me holidays.
Yes, mate. Nice cheeky discount. Abby and Alan.
The AA. Roadside Rescue.
The AA. Oh, right, yes.
Yes.
OK, right, sorry. I thought you said BAA. How did you meet her then?
We were chatting on Facebook Messenger.
OK. Has she met you?
Yes, she has, and I met her mum.
Oh, hang on. She wasn't wearing white, was she?
No.
And a veil.
So when you say, okay, well, did you ask her for boob pictures like you normally do?
No.
Okay, wow, this really is serious.
Romance.
Okay, well, this is brilliant news, Alan. Have you been out on a date yet?
I'm going out on Monday night to the cinema.
What are you going to go and see? It's always important.
Lego.
Fighting with my family.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Well, that's... seeing what?
Fighting with my family.
I don't know that.
New film with Nick Frost.
Oh, the one directed by Stephen Merchant.
That's the one.
Oh, okay. I don't know much about that. I've just seen the poster.
Well, it's a true story of a WWE superstar.
Aha! Okay. So maybe you think you're going to get some ideas for what to do afterwards.
No, I'm not that kind of guy, and I'm waiting till I'm married before I get in a bedroom activity.
Well, I'm not talking about intercourse. I'm talking about wrestling. You know, there are a lot of men that would pay a lot of money to wrestle a woman.
Well, Paige, who the film is about, she was started wrestling when she was 10.
Wow. I can see. I've never done it. It's not really my bag, but I can see how having a full-on...
Fight.
A wrestle, where you both really going for it, with someone who is physically matched to you, I could see how that could be fun, if you catch my lizard.
Ian, but didn't you wrestle someone a decade ago?
I did wrestle a decade ago. I wrestled a listener... and I destroyed him. It was a long fight. It took about 25 minutes.
Did it tickle your pickle?
It didn't, actually. I was shagged at the end of it. Do you know what? He nearly got me in the first 30 seconds, right? And part of me wishes he did, because I just managed to get my balance back. But part of me wishes he did, because it went on for ages, and I was shagged.
Yeah.
But I destroyed him. I destroyed him, and I will destroy another listener one day.
I would probably pay tickets for that fight.
Okay, well, you can. They're £1,000 each, Alan. Now you need two.
I used to quite like fighting my sister, but it's not as acceptable when you're two grown women, is it?
Well, it might be in UFC, Kath.
What, in Kentucky Fried Chicken?
No, Ultimate Fighting Championship.
Yes, mate, the Boyle sisters.
I think my nephews might be a bit taken aback if I suddenly got their mum in a headlock pounded her into the sofa.
By the way, Roger has tweeted, Caddick has a girlfriend and I'm single. That's depressing. To all the single men out there, Yabu sucks. Alan beat ya.
Sorry, guys.
And apologise to the ladies as well, Big Al.
I'm sorry, ladies, especially Shelley and Lady Kadonk.
I don't know. Give it a week.
Nice one, Alan. Let us know how it goes.
I will. Thank you.
Ta-ta. Well, I think maybe you need to buy a hat, Catherine.
What, a black one with a veil?
Come on now.
Oh, come on. We know how this story goes.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Giselle, stay there. Because we're gonna see if we can get a hand job. Hang on.
Professional.
515 1446. Here we go. Ohio, United States.
They're gonna close in 55 minutes.
No, I won't keep.
Hand jobs now. How can I help you?
Sorry, what's the name of your establishment?
Hand jobs.
Hey! That's not Dawn, is it?
No, this is Amanda.
Hey, Amanda, my name's Ian. I'm with my friend Catherine.
Hello.
We're on Talk Radio in the UK at the moment. And we just read the story about your amazing nail bar. And we just wanted to phone up and say congratulations. That's the best name ever.
Oh, thank you.
The council, the zoning people, they're not really considering changing it, are they?
No, we actually got notice on Friday that we can keep it.
Yes! This is a victory for common sense and, of course, a victory for hand jobs.
Absolutely.
How serious? Because it's a brilliant, brilliant name. Was it Dawn that came up with the name?
Yes. Actually, she had thought of it up like 10 years ago. it's something that she had always wanted to name her salon.
Yeah.
And she actually... when we went to apply for the license with the state cosmetology board, she actually applied under a completely different name.
Yeah.
And then for the next several days, really regretted it. So she called them and was like, can I change the name? And they were like, you know, you have to go through this whole process and you have to pay for a new license, blah, blah, blah. He was like, so can I just ask what you want to change the name to? And when she told him, he about fell out of his chair laughing. He was like, what? I'll just send you a new license right now. Don't worry about it. We got it. he just loved it. So.
And has anybody complained?
No. I mean, we have had some people that say they don't like it, but I've never had somebody just flat out be rude about it.
Yeah. And how's business going? Are you getting plenty of business?
We are. Due to some unfortunate circumstances, I'm the only one here right now.
Oh.
But... yeah.
Oh, gosh, I hope everyone's all right.
Yes, one girl's on vacation. Another one did have a death in the family.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Listen, we are in London, so your story has gone all around the world. That, I mean, it shows that, you know, coming up with a clever name really works.
It does.
Hey, could you do me a favour?
What? Better advertisement.
Do me one favour, then we'll let you get on with your work, because if it's just you, you must be busy. Could you just answer the phone again and give us that line one more time?
Absolutely.
Go on, just say it for us one more time.
Hand jobs, nails and spa.
It's so nice to talk to you. Thank you so much for being such a good sport. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too, hon.
Take care. Bye-bye. Amanda. There we go. America, the best service industry in the world, huh? What a lovely lady. She called me hun. I like that. I like being called hun. That was good.
You're welcome.
Well done. Oh, the pen just flew out. Well done, Catherine. That was great. So childish.
Didn't that used to be, when we worked in Luton, wasn't there a big deal about hand valeting service? Called hand jobs.
Don't know.
I'm sure they got told.
It's just saying it in Luton. It's sleazy.
Hand jobs.
Yeah, hand jobs. Hand jobs are father. in Ohio, in Perkins, Ohio. It's a little bit classy.
Professional hand job.
Professional. What a lovely lady. Thank you for that. 03, Giselle, stay there. We'll come to you in a minute. Probably best we rinse our mouths out with Corsadil before we move on after the hand jobs. 0344 499 1000. This is the Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
0344 499 1000 is the phone number. Right, let's go to Giselle. Good evening, Giselle.
Hi, hon.
Oi! I like... Listen, I know it's not fashionable, but I do like older women giving me terms of endearment. You know, like hun, sweetie...
sausage.
Sausage is a... I think only my mum can call me sausage.
Treacle?
Treacle I like, yeah. I'm an excellent judge of when it is appropriate to call an older woman love. It's not always appropriate.
No.
But sometimes you just get a vibe off an older woman. And when I say older, I mean like, you know, 70s, 80s. You just get a vibe, and I've never been wrong yet, where you can go, are you sure you're all right with that, love? And their faces light up. Okay. Oh, it's a
But
gift.
You've got to be careful, because that term has also been used to diminish women over the years.
Yeah. No.
But all right, love.
Yeah, but
all right, love. Calm down.
I don't do it like that, sweetheart. I do it. Sorry. I know exactly when to use it. I don't use it in a diminishing term.
No, of course you don't.
I know exactly when and with whom to use it. You get a vibe. You get a vibe from an older lady that you're right, love. That where they glow. They glow when you say it to them. Yes, Giselle.
Two things.
Yes.
So trauma is rubbish. We both know trauma is rubbish.
Trauma
from
sucks.
Other experiences of trauma.
Yeah.
But in terms of the CPR and safety stuff, they actually they teach kids in school now. When I was in last year of primary school, they teach you stuff. They teach you basic first aid leading up to CPR. So I imagine with a situation like that, we probably go towards kind of thinking, you know, well, how do other people who are close to me, will they learn this and stuff? And
in that case, you're saying don't bother, let the kids do it. Are you?
Well, you can't do it on yourself if something happened to you, so...
Oh, yeah, no, you couldn't, could you? I suppose not. It's something I need to do. Tomorrow I'm going to find a course. I'm going to do it. But they teach it in schools, do they? Okay, well, that's good to know. That's good to know.
Yeah, so they teach you, they start off with, if my memory serves me correctly, they start off with breathing and the recovery position.
Yep.
You cover things such as serious bleeding and how to hold the arm up high, raised, any injury. You cover choking, hazard perception, and what to do in an emergency. So you cover dangers, asking for help, and then sort of all the ABCs in kind of emergency situations. So even though, you know, it's not as in-depth, they don't cover, or they didn't when I was at school, they didn't cover burns and things, as you might if you pay for a course, but certainly gives you the very principles of what to do, including, you know, how to call for an ambulance and things like that. And even though some children, I think parents can pull them out if they feel that the child can't process that just yet, but it kind of teaches them basic, you know, principles for the rest of their lives. You know, I've never forgotten, and you get a certificate, so, you know, kids, you know, pick stuff up.
What
well
parent, what parent would pull their kid out of a first aid course?
I think, I don't know about first aid, but when we learnt about other things, you learnt about, say, electric wires, don't go near electric wires in the street because they've got dangers of death written on them. And we had one kid, I remember, in school who was severely upset because they show, like, you know, much like on casualty sort of thing, type of accident, like an acting scenario. And some children get very distressed.
So but he was taken out, and unfortunately that kid's now dead. He died of electricity.
Yeah.
Go on, what was the other thing? Yes.
I wanted to say I met a shaman after, like, on the weekend after we were talking about tarot.
Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question? Is a shaman the same as a shaman?
Yes.
Are they both acceptable?
There we go again.
No, come on now. Leave Mr. C out of this. Are they both acceptable pronunciations? Shaman, shaman. Are they?
I think so.
Okay. 0344 499 1000. We'll take calls straight to air. The first five calls, this is what we'll do, Sam, you relax. Next five calls straight to air. Yeah, like we're going to get five calls straight to air on a quiet night like this. Just phone up and you say Shaman Shaman. And at the end of the five calls, we will tally up and we'll see which is the official pronunciation of the word for the late night alternative. 0344 499 1000. All we need is five calls straight to air, guys, while we're on the phone to Giselle. And at the end of that call, we will know whether it's Shaman or Shaman. It's as simple as. You carry on, Giselle, and we'll wait for the phones to go a billio.
So I met a Shaman Shaman.
Yes.
And we ended up talking about tarot cards, which I think was very weird, considering I've sort of put that into the universe a couple of times over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But also, it led me to kind of think about my uses of time, I suppose. Not that time's a man make a strain anyway, but the point is what I kind of do in my downtime, and social media being one thing, but I'll gloss over that for now. The other thing being television.
Yeah.
You know, and you've been talking about films and stuff, but I'm just thinking, like, what is the point in television? Because you get television, you know, people saying it hammers things.
Let me just hold you there for 1 second. Line two, Shaman or Shaman?
Bag of Shaman.
Okay, thank you. Shaman. We got the Shaman. Okay.
Shut up, G.
Okay, Shaman. Shaman. It's 1-0. Okay, not that this is a competition, but I am winning. So, yes, go on. TV's pointless. And you've seen that ITV and BBC are getting together to make something that rivals Netflix called BritBox. Jesus, that sounds crap. Yeah, let's watch Keeping Up Appearances and old episodes of French Fields, which I did watch an episode of French Fields the other day, and it's quite good. But what a load of old crap.
Rubbish. Yeah.
Well, so, hang on a second. Hang on, sorry. Line three, Shaman or Shaman?
Shaman, I ain't got a clue.
Thank you very much, Shaman. So that's 2-0. Let me just try this one. Line four, Shaman or Shaman?
Unacceptable!
Okay, right. Don't know what that was. Line five, Shaman or Shaman?
Well, according to Charlie Jordan, who is one, it's Shaman.
Okay, no idea who Charlie Jordan is, but I respect that opinion. It's 3-0. Let's go to line six. Line six, Shaman or Shaman?
Minge bag.
Okay, well, that's offensive. Well, it isn't, actually, is it? No, it's tight. I'll give that one as a Shaman. So it's three. Oh, God, here we go. Now they go. Yes, line seven, Shaman or Shaman?
Shaman.
Thank you very much indeed.
It's Shaman Holmes.
Four, one. We just need one more call, guys. First one to five. Yeah, line seven, Shaman or Shaman?
Shaman all the way, baby.
Thank you very much indeed. That's five, and we've got one more call. Make this the last one. Line eight, Shaman or Shaman?
Shaman.
Thank you very much indeed. It's 6-1, and even one of them was saying minge bag. So it's Shaman, Giselle. You have to change your you have to change your pronunciation.
Consider myself learned.
You're charmed. Go on. Well, hang on. Where were we? So TV's pointly. Yeah, yes, we know that. It's rubbish.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, it's not very conscious, is it? And it's just like, you know, what do you do with the rest of your time? And I suppose if I thought about every time, you know, you go to watch TV, you could be meditating or you could be talking in real life. You know
Hang on.
What?
Let's not be miserable sods about it. It's a nice bit of escapism. If used in the right way, it's just as good as reading a book. Yes, it is.
It's rubbish. Catherine? You've been round my house and we've suddenly 2.5 hours have gone because we've watched like five episodes before in a bed.
But sometimes you need a bit of mental chewing gum. There's nothing wrong with that.
Once in a while. Yeah. But I think that I use it. I know that you've used it. You just waste your life. Mm. It's shit. Who cares about Damon Grant? What's he called? It upscaling, upskirting. What's that thing?
That thing you like where they buy a load of crap and paint it purple.
Yeah, what do they call that, Giselle? When you buy rubbish and you upskirt it, you make
upcycling.
Damon Grant from Brookside, upcycling. What is that about?
I don't know, but we watched it a lot.
Yeah, exactly. So it's pointless.
Unmissable late night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
The late night alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Good evening, dear listener. Late night alternative. I'm Ian Lee. Catherine Boyle is elsewhere. She will be joining us shortly. She's busy. You know the score. We're going to sit here and chat about stuff. You can give us a call. Give me a call about anything you want. 0344 499 1000. Lots to talk about, including the Momo Challenge. I'm going to be undertaking the Momo Challenge later on in the show. We're going to talk about I saw a story today online. Linda Robson has started smoking 9 years after she quit. That's a story. And Luke Perry's had a stroke, which is sad, actually. Let's go to Alan Caddick, though, first of all. Good evening, Alan.
Hi, Ian.
God, well, you're upset about Luke Perry? I think he's going to be fine. It's very sad news.
No, I didn't know about Luke Perry. I'm sad for another reason.
What, because Linda Robson has started smoking 9 years after she quit for her health reasons?
No.
The Liam Fox podcast costing £100,000 and only 8,500 people downloaded it?
No, I've been dumped.
Sorry?
I've been dumped.
What do you mean?
I've been never showed for the meeting tonight. And she deleted her Facebook page and she's lost, deleted all contact. So I'm back. I'm officially back on the market.
So for those, well, okay. So for those who missed last night's show, Alan had had taken himself off of the market because. You had a date. What was her? What was the young? It was a lady, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a lady.
What was her name?
Abby.
And you were going to go and see the Mark Wahlberg film with her, weren't you?
No, the Stephen Merchant film.
Stephen Merchant film. I do apologise. And when were you planning on seeing her?
She was supposed to meet tonight, so she can meet my mum and dad.
And you've been chatting online?
Well, I said morning, and she never replied or anything. She deleted her Facebook page.
Oh, no. Do you think you've been, what do they call it? Is it
pussy?
Sorry, pussy?
No, pussy.
Pussy?
No, P-U-S-H-Y.
Oh, pushy. I thought you said No, what do they call it? Snatchfish? What's the thing?
Catfish.
Thank you, Sam, mouthing it through there. I'm so sorry. Do you think you've been catfished?
I've got that distinct feeling.
Oh, mate. You didn't give her any money, did you?
No.
I don't know what to say, mate. That's terrible, terrible news.
And it doesn't help with the death of Andre Previn tonight.
Oh, God, it gets worse and worse. Listen, it's sad news for you, but can I just say to all of the ladies out there... Alan's back on the market. So if you're up for it...
3444991000.
What was her name?
Abby.
Okay. I got confused there. Do you think it was a real person, Alan? Or do you think it was a fake person? Or do you think that she really was real, but... Maybe she's not deleted her Facebook page. Maybe she's just blocked you, so you can't see it. I think that's how Facebook works.
I think it was a bloke pretending to be someone.
And that... Okay. Mate, that would have been... Oh, man. Aren't there... People... Here's the thing. People are scumbags, Alan. They mess... with other people's emotions and minds and affections. And the heart is not a toy to be played with. It's a grown-up board game. It's like the Japanese game Go, which I'm now becoming obsessed with.
I want to know more about this Momo challenge you're going to be doing.
Well, we're going to be doing the Momo challenge later on. It's very popular with the young people today. I don't quite know what it is, but we're going to be playing it later on.
Yet to see what it's about.
No, here's the thing, right? There's loads of stories in the paper today about the Momo challenge, right?
Yeah.
Loads of stories. There's it's in the Mail, it's in the Mirror. Let me just pick one. What's the first paper I've got?
Is it in the Sun?
It's not in the Sun. Here we go. I've got the Mirror, right? Page 25 of the Mirror. Momo challenge, right?
Yeah.
Twisted Momo web craze urging kids of 5 to self-harm. A sick online suicide game. My voice has gone a little bit croaky. I think it's stress. I've lost half a stone since Monday. Half a stone since Monday. Imagine.
Was that because of the crash?
Yeah. I'm not. She's not eating, mate. No appetite. Not slept. No appetite. Just lying in bed crying a lot, Alan. That's all. But don't worry. A sick online suicide game featuring a creepy woman is targeting toddlers. By infiltrating innocent YouTube videos such as Peppa Pig, parents warned yesterday. The Momo Challenge, which has been linked to child deaths, encourages children as young as 5 to harm themselves or others and even to take their own lives. The character, a terrifying doll with bulging black ringed eyes, straggly hair and an evil grin, is inserted by hackers into popular online children's videos and hit games such as Roblox and Fortnite. She then orders children to follow her instructions, threatening that bad things will happen to their friends and family if they do not comply. So this is in all the papers, right?
Apart from the Sun.
Well, I didn't see it in the Sun. Here's the thing. When we called it yesterday, it's fake. It's fake. There's no actual evidence that the Momo Challenge actually exists. There's no evidence.
Could have been set up by Donald Trump.
Could have been. It's unlikely. I don't think, the thing is, I don't think it was set up by anybody, right? I don't think it exists. There was a guy on Radio 4 today, and he'd done some research, and he'd phoned children's charities and helplines and all of this, and nobody has reported any incidents of this Momo Challenge. Videos in YouTube? I don't think so. It's fake. It's fake news. It's lies. It's lies, and more blooming lies. That's what it is, Alan.
It's catfish of the YouTube world.
Exactly. Well, listen, Alan, I'm very sorry to hear about your sad news, but one door closes, and I'm going to guess that the rest of the doors will probably actually stay closed and probably bolted from the inside.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
0344 499 1000. Let's go to Maddie. Good evening, Maddie.
Good evening.
Good evening to you, Maddie. It's 10 past 10 on a... I don't even know what day it is today, Maddie. What day is it?
It's Thursday.
It's Thursday, Maddie. I'm going to be honest, you sound younger than our usual average age of caller, which is 52. You sound about 27. Is that close? Am I close?
I'm about 25, maybe, around about there.
You're 25. What year were you born?
1992.
You're just making that up. That wouldn't make you 25. That would make you 40.
I don't know math.
Hey, your voice is croaky as well as mine. How old are you really, Maddie? Come on, let's have the truth.
I'm nine.
You're what?
I'm nine.
You're 9 years old. Happy. I was going to say happy birthday. Is it your birthday today? That would be something, wouldn't it?
No, my birthday is in September.
All right, calm down. I only asked. I was reading today that the best day to have your birthday, and I don't know why, because I didn't read the story, because, as you know, newspapers are boring. But the best date to have your birthday is June the 15th. I don't know why, but mine's June the 9th, so I'm not far. Hey, do your parents or guardians know that you're calling a rather rude grown-up radio show?
You should hear my mum.
Is she...
When a car drives, like, overtakes her or something, she's like, see this bloody man, this bloody dickhead.
What the... Right, I don't know where you are, Maddie, but I'm... Can we get some bars of Palmolive? I'm driving up to Maddie, and I'm shoving those in your mouth. Wash your mouth out with soap, young lady. Outrageous. I don't care.
Ring, I don't... Hello, child services.
Sorry. No, it doesn't matter. You're not my kid, so I can do what I want. Listen, your mother may be an absolute disgrace of a human being, but you don't have to be like her, Maddie. You can learn from her hideous, awful, common mistakes, and you can make something of your life. You don't have to be the washed-up loser that she is, Maddie. You can achieve something. You can achieve something. Hey, listen, here's the thing, right? Why don't I adopt you? Yeah? You wanna be adopted by the guy that... From the jungle, yes?
Yay!
All right, here we go. Now, I'm going to adopt you. I'm going to be like Daddy Warbucks, OK? I'm going to adopt you. I'm going to buy you expensive clothes. You're going to live on my luxury farm, and you're going to dress in the finest clothes. But, and there is a but, Maddie, you're going to have to work, and you're going to have to work hard, OK? The floors need scrubbing. The windows need cleaning.
I'm not Cinderella.
I don't care. I've adopted you now. You're mine. The chimney needs a good old scrub from the inside.
So now it's Mary Poppins.
So get up that chimney, girl, and scrub it.
This is all crap.
Maddie, you've called in. Why have you called in? Is it Brexit?
I wanted to tell you about the Momo challenge and why you should 100% not do it.
Okay. Is it partly because it's not real?
Yes, that's one thing.
Yeah, okay, go on. So reason one, well, you shouldn't do the Momo challenge. Reason one is it's not real. What's reason two?
The Momo challenge was created by this guy who took advantage of some people on the internet. And how you said it's been appearing on kids' channels and games that are very, like, socialised and stuff.
Socialised.
People can take Momo foam a lot of the time.
Yes.
But the problem is, with the Momo challenge, obviously, as you said, it comes to self-harm, which is the last thing you'd want to do.
It is the last thing you want to do. But here's the thing, Maddie. I'm guessing you've not seen one of these Momo challenge videos, right?
No.
Right.
I would never watch one.
No,
never,
but,
ever.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing, Maddie, right? It's not real.
I know.
But who told you about it?
I've seen it on the internet, and people are like, have you seen this Momo girl? Some people are saying she's real. I'm like, how can this girl, who looks like she's been, I don't know, dragged out of hell?
Well, she has.
Half chicken.
Well, here's the thing, right? So Momo is a character in a grown-up film, right? And Momo does pop up in a couple of games on Roblox. I don't know if you've played Roblox, but she pops up in a couple of games. I've seen her in a couple of games my boys play. So Momo, you know, kind of exists in video games and stuff. But here's the thing, Maddie. These videos that you read about online and maybe your friends have talked about, the videos don't actually exist, right? What happened was a couple of adults said they were real and then they got printed in the papers and then the police kind of put some statements out and no one actually bothered to check whether the stories were real or not. So the videos don't even exist. So you don't even have to worry about watching a video on YouTube and maybe seeing one of these things by accident because they don't exist, right? Trust me, they don't exist.
Okay, and that's why I just wanted to say that. It's a waste of time, really.
Now, back to Brexit. If we have... I mean, what do you want? Do you want Theresa May's deal, or do you want to leave with no deal, or would you call for a second referendum? What would you do, Maddie?
Theresa May's...
Okie dokie. Thank you very much indeed. We actually had to dump a 9-year-old. Let's turn Catherine's microphone up. Come on now. Come on, Maddie. I like a laugh, but that's going a little bit too far. Thank you very much indeed. Actually had to dump a 9-year-old.
So anything happened while I was out?
Yeah, I adopted a gobshite.
She's got some rather old-fashioned attitudes.
Come on now. Maddie, I like a laugh. Mum, I like a laugh, but that was crossing the line. That's inappropriate. Let's take a quick break, shall we? 0344. 499-1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. You can give us a call about anything you want. We've debunked the Momo challenge is in nearly all the papers today. I bet the revelation that it's not actually real will not be in all the papers tomorrow. They'll keep printing the stories like they do with the killer clowns. It's nonsense. And we called it out yesterday. There was a big thing on Radio 4 about it today. This guy said, I've investigated it. No one else does. Police have put out statements about it. Some of the local Facebook groups I'm a member of had, like, warnings for parents. Schools have put out statements and stuff like that. And this guy said, I've researched it. There's literally no evidence for it at all.
My kids' school, both of them, sent out things saying this is nonsense.
Good for them. That's a bold move.
And
well,
the children need to know that.
Yeah, good for them. 0344 499-1000. This is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
I don't understand how, and it's bugged me for a while, but I've not, Eamon's trailer, you're wearing glasses.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been wearing them since I picked you up, like, what was it, 4 hours ago?
Oh, really? I'd not noticed. I couldn't drive into that. I couldn't drive. I got scared of driving. I went and bought a car today, and normally it's a drawn-out, torturous experience, but I got recommended a car dealership. I knew how much I could afford. I looked around and I went, yeah, I'll take that one, please. And that was it. And the guy was like, I said, yeah, take that. I said, don't even bother trying to sell me any other crap. I'll just have that now. He's like, okay. And that was it.
God.
That was it. Get it on Monday.
Daddy Warbucks.
Daddy didn't give a shit bucks. getting the money from the insurance, and I got some money the other day, and it's like, well, I'll just get that. It's done. But the thought of, driving. So thanks for driving me in tonight. And I'm assuming you're going to drive me home as well?
Well,
okay.
Let's see how you get on.
Just didn't fancy it. Did you notice I was flinching the whole time you were driving?
No.
Very, very nervous passenger. Very nervous, and I would never. I know. Listen,
and I was going really carefully as well.
Yeah, I know you were, and I was really just wanting to shout out, slow down, all of that. It's nuts, isn't it? It's absolutely nuts. Anyway, so it's Culture Week on Eamon Holmes' show.
Just for a week?
No. It's culture. Can we play that Eamon Holmes? I don't know if you can fish it out of the computer system, Sam. Sam is the young man who is, let's be honest, is the brains of this organisation. If you phone up 0344 499 1000, he's the guy you'll talk to. He's very nice. And he gives you a call back and kind of puts you straight through. Have you got it? Can you play it? Listen to this and keep our mics up. Spot the problem. Here we go.
From Homer and Plato to Hawking and Pinter, get your essential update on the world of art and literature with Eamon Holmes' Culture Week on Talk Radio. Every Tuesday afternoon, Eamon is joined by the editor of the Times Literary Supplement, Stig Abel, to discuss the latest developments in ideas, culture and the arts. Culture Week with Eamon Holmes, every Tuesday afternoon from 4 on Talk.
Did you spot the problem? Did you not spot it?
Go on.
Play it again. I mean, it's just... once you know, you see it, it's glaringly obvious.
From Homer and Plato to Hawking and Pinter, get your essential update on the world of art and literature with Eamon Holmes' Culture Week on Talk Radio. Every Tuesday afternoon, Eamon is joined by the editor of the Times Literary Supplement.
Oh, yeah.
It's Culture Week every Tuesday afternoon.
Also, talking about Homer and Plato and then saying, it's your update. I've known about them for a while. Have they done something new?
Nothing has... not much has changed on the Homer and Plato.
What's Pinter unless, knocked out?
Unless, of course, it's Homer Simpson and Dana Plato, in which case, there's a reference for the kids. in which case, wasn't Dana Plato the girl in Different Strokes? I think she was.
Was she?
I think she was. She's passed as well. It's all very, very sad. But yes, it's Culture Week every Tuesday afternoon. It's weird, that, isn't it? It's a strange old thing. 03444991000 is the phone number. In the last hour of the show, the interview I did with Nick Jones, the folk singer, I really think you're going to enjoy it. I'll explain a bit more a bit later. Very slow, very gentle. And I'm going to play a song in a bit that his wife sent me. It's a song he wrote a few years ago. We played a version of him doing it. But she sent me a version of a school doing it. I listened to the first 30 seconds and I can't listen to this anymore. So we'll play it on the air in a bit. Wow, man. It's heavy. It's heavy. Let's go to Ruby first. Good evening, Ruby.
Good evening.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's all right.
I'm so nervous. My heart is beating really fast.
Well,
right now.
I'm glad your heart is beating. That's always a bonus, okay? What we will do is we will try and slow it down to a more reasonable rate. It's funny, isn't it? I get nervous when I'm on the end of a phone to a radio station. Yeah, I don't know why.
I've never, ever called into a radio station ever before
in
my life.
Catherine and I are honoured, Ruby. What did you call in about? You okay? Hey, you take your time.
Sorry.
What's going on, Ruby?
I've had depression and anxiety on and off for a very long time now.
Yeah.
Sorry, you must be sick of callers bombarding you with things
No, I'm honoured and humbled that people want to share this stuff. So you just take your time.
I know people talk about it a lot.
Yeah.
This kind of issue, but I don't want to... I'm not making any sense. Forgive me.
You're making perfect sense to us.
Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here a bit, but basically I went to the doctors today.
Yeah.
And I've been put on a low, like the lowest dosage of citalopram, which I used to take before, but it affected me badly, so I stopped taking it for a while.
Right.
I've been given the 10 milligrams now, and we'll see how it goes after today.
Did you tell your doctor that it had affected you badly before?
I did, but that was a higher dosage.
Okay.
So I was given a high dosage to begin with and then brought down. Like,
okay, as long as you told your doctor the history, then that's good.
Yes, yes. And I have been referred on to therapy as well, which is something else I've never done before. But at this point in time, I feel it's a good step forward for me to talk to someone unbiased.
Yeah.
Because my family and friends, they've been an amazing support. Like, I can't thank them enough. But sometimes it's nice to speak to someone that's, you know, partly why I'm calling the show as well. It's, sorry, I sound so nervous.
No, listen, I'm a big fan of talking therapies, and the joy is probably not the right word, but the joy of sitting in a room with a stranger for 50 minutes. And because that's what a therapy hour is, and being able to tell them anything, you know, however weird, however kinky, however boring or mundane or small or huge, and to not be judged by them is, I find it so freeing. Yes. So therapy's a great way to go, and I'm really pleased that you're down for that.
Thank you. The thing that has triggered recently my was a breakup that I had with somebody. I don't know if you could really call it a breakup, because it was somebody that I met online and we didn't manage to meet in real life. But it got intense very, very quickly, and they said all the right things, and was completely taken in by this person. Like, for 2 months, every single day we communicated, and they knew all the right things to say.
Can I just double check? It wasn't Alan Caddick, was it, Ruby? I don't know if you heard the call earlier on from Alan that his girlfriend has disappeared. Just want to check it wasn't, was it, Ruby?
Has she? Yes. She's gone already.
She's gone already.
Oh, no.
Okay. Well, that's something. Sorry. I'm sorry to make light. Go on.
No. Honestly, because I have been. Oh, it's going to sound so silly, but I've been crying almost nonstop since the day we I won't go into all the details as to why it ended, but it ended on Valentine's Day, effectively.
Okay.
After that, we did carry on speaking as friends, but it was strained.
Like, yeah.
A lot of disagreements happened.
Right.
So, and then after that, they suddenly said, well, I can't contact you anymore. It's too difficult for me, so I'm going to block you.
Oh. Okay.
And I said, well, in some ways it's good, because it made it final, so there was no going back and forth. But in other ways, it was like the final nail in the coffin, so that hurt me again and made me cry again. And I just...
And has that sent you into a spiral, would you say?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Yes, yeah. That was the big trigger of the moment, if you like. Because whilst I was with them, I'm not saying that life was perfect and rosy and I always had a good day, but it was like this blissful bubble where this person, they adore you, they tell you every day that they like this about you and they like that about you,
yeah.
And that you're funny, and you get... I don't know if carried away is the right term, but you feel like you're on top of the world.
Yeah.
And they gave me that confidence. And
I wonder why you don't have that confidence in yourself, and why you need to get positive affirmation about yourself from other people, why you don't have it within you. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, it's something I've struggled with most of my life, to be honest.
I get that.
I've had some wonderful moments in my life, absolutely wonderful. But then there's always a point where I come crashing down, and it's hard. I stay in that slump for days, weeks, months. And try as I might to focus on other things, it's very, very difficult.
Yeah, of course it is. But you managed, within your slump, you managed to get in touch with a doctor and go and see a doctor.
Yeah.
So that is a huge positive and something you should be very proud of, that you managed to do that.
Thank you.
Listen, what do I know? I'm just an idiot that sits and talks on the radio.
No, honestly, I listen to you every night, I look forward to it every single night.
Well, thank you, Ruby. Well, listen, you are... it sounds like a kind of a talking therapy would be perfect. I'm guessing you'd... Would I be right in saying you don't love yourself, do you?
Very rarely.
Very rarely.
Very rarely, yeah. That's
something
that's always an issue.
Yeah, that's something that a lot of people struggle with. I struggle with. And I think a talking therapy would be really useful in not necessarily fixing that immediately, but perhaps highlighting a few reasons as to why you don't love yourself and why it would appear that you need to... You know, you need other people to make you feel good. Here's the thing I found out, Ruby. There are some people that exist in this world that don't need another person or other people to make them feel good. They can feel good on their own. Now, that sounds incredible, doesn't it?
Absolutely,
But some people can do that. And I think it's possible to learn how to do that for people like you and me that don't do that naturally.
Yeah, and I wish I could be one of those people that just have it naturally, but...
You might have to do a bit of work to get it.
Yeah.
But I think the work is doable. I'm trying to do it. Yeah. How low are you, Ruby? Are you... Let me ask a really serious question. Are you thinking of harming yourself in any way?
No.
Brilliant.
No.
Brilliant.
No, luckily, no.
Good. All right. Well, that's something. That's something.
Yeah. Yes.
That's something. Good. And I'm really, really pleased to hear that, because I was getting a little bit concerned. But okay, good. What have you got tomorrow?
I don't have any plans for tomorrow, but I usually call my best friend at least once a day.
Brilliant.
And she has been, over the past 2 weeks, I can't tell you in words how invaluable her just talking to me and listening to me, no matter how nonsensical I've been, no matter how much I've talked through my tears, she's listened, she hasn't judged, and she's given me words of incredible comfort. So,
How long have you known her for?
More than 10 years.
There you go.
Yeah.
You got one of them in your phone, then you're halfway there.
Yeah.
Is there any way that just tomorrow you could schedule just doing something nice for yourself? And it doesn't have to be anything big, right? It could be something big like going out and seeing a film. But it could be something small like saying, right, I'm going to have 15 minutes where I'm going to sit down with my phone turned off and the TV turned off. I'm going to have a nice cup of coffee, and I'm really going to savour that cup of coffee. And the phone is off and the emails are off and the TV's off and no one can touch me for 15 minutes. 15 minutes of being completely safe and comfortable and really enjoying that cup of coffee. And do you know what? If at the end of it I fancy another one, I'm going to get up and make a second one and sit back down and just enjoy that. And then turn the phone on again. Then if you want to watch telly, do you know what I mean? Is there a way you can maybe try and fit something like that into your routine tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm sure I'll be able to.
Just a little bit of stillness and a little bit of peace and a little bit of just sitting with yourself.
At the moment, it's just so hard because thoughts of the person I was speaking to is just going round and round and round in my head. It's I've never felt like I have been with other people, but I've never felt like this about anyone else, the way they go under my skin and really... Because they made a lot of promises to me, too. I will do this for you, I will do that for you. All you have to do is this, this and this. And I said, well, it's difficult for me. But, so there was a clash there. And that put pressure on me and increased my anxiety and so on.
Sounds like you were taken advantage of and manipulated a bit. And that isn't your fault. That isn't your fault at all. Yeah. Ruby, it's not your fault. You've not done anything wrong at all.
Blame myself that I... Because the truth is that this person's character, it wasn't good. And they are not the kind of person that I would normally ever go for. I didn't know the truth until afterwards. When we started speaking as friends, it all came out exactly what they were like. And that's what hurts more, that I still have this feeling about them.
You can't switch that off, can you?
I know.
You can't just switch that off. That'll go. But you can't just, rip the batteries out and it's off. You're going to have to sit with it for a bit.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
She's kicked off her high heel shoes, made of Spanish leather, and she's put on an old pair of brogues to follow the gypsy laddie. At night her lord come home and he's inquiring for his lady. And the servant's down on his knees and said she's away with the seven gypsies.
Well, it is Saturday morning, it's 9:42, and I'm off to interview Nick Jones, a man who I knew nothing about until I heard a brilliant programme on Radio 4, 4 Extra, actually, 1:30 in the morning a few months ago. And since then, I have become vaguely obsessed. Now, I'm driving all the way, it's near Tavistock. It's miles away. Well, let me just see exactly where we're going. It's 4 hours and 19 minutes away, 226 miles. So, man alive, I hope to get there by about, if I can get there for 2:30, take it nice and easy, that'll be good. And we'll have a chat with Nick Jones and his wife, Julia, who have been incredibly accommodating and very kind. Right, let's go.
'56, I sailed on board a ship called Byron One. She's carried trawler men on deck and a harpoon, whaling gun. Oh, you trawler men, come on, forget your snapper and your prawn. For it's out of Ballinor we'll sail, fishing for the humpback whale.
Hello, I'm Ian. Lovely to meet you at last. Well, I'll be gentle with your hands. Nice to see you.
Tendonitis or something. Something like that. RSI. They don't know, they just give you a load of painkillers.
Painkillers and a little thing to put on.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Okay, thank you.
Nice to meet you at last.
Yeah. Come through.
Thank you.
You're tall.
I'm quite tall, yes. There is that. This area is amazing.
It is.
Beautiful. Yes. Absolutely beautiful.
Which way? Did you come over Dartmoor?
I came through Dartmoor, yeah.
Nick.
Hey, it's Nick.
Ian.
I'm Ian.
Hey.
Nice to meet you at last. How are you doing, sir?
Yeah, fine.
I brought a bottle of wine just to say...
Thank you very much for letting me come, come and say hello.
Very,
very nice to meet you.
Would you like
to come back from?
Well, I'm Aylesbury. So it's just taken 4 hours or so.
It's not bad, actually.
It's not bad, and it's a lovely drive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listening to some Nick on the way, listening to some radio.
It's a mistake.
What?
Have a steak.
Have a steak. Go and have a think. Can I get you a tea or a coffee?
Coffee would be lovely, please. White, no sugar.
Proper coffee, as opposed to instant.
Proper coffee, if you have a proper coffee.
All right, well, I'm in the house with Nick Jones. Nice to meet you, Nick.
That's okay.
Tell how long you've been in this house, because this is incredible. It's an amazing view out of that window.
It's a lovely place. Yeah, I've been here about 10 years. Yeah. 10 years. So. Before that, we were in rubbish places, Yorkshire.
And you can't say Yorkshire. Is Yorkshire rubbish? No.
And what's the place? Cambridgeshire as well. No, that was rubbish too. And Chelmsford, that was even worse. So whenever we moved, I always hate the places where we moved. This is the first place where I actually moved in and wanted to be here.
What's so different about this place,
though? I don't know. It just feels nice. You know?
Yeah.
And it was a wreck, which we had to redo. We had to rebuild it. You know?
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, a lot of it had to be rebuilt. Because there were no floors, you know, everything was a real mess. And the whole place was yellow, it was painted yellow, and it was a ridiculous, awful place.
I say, it's now very tasteful white.
Yeah.
There are floors. You've got floors.
Yeah, that's great. There are wooden floors over there. But
Your cat is drinking milk out of that milk jug. Come on now, Smudge. That's not for you, is it? Unbelievable.
She likes milk. Cats like milk.
Apparently it's bad for cats.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to give them milk.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought that was something that they liked to have, and they were okay with it.
Now, Nick, I was saying, I'm going to be honest, I hadn't heard of you until about 4 or 5 months ago. Yeah. Well, I told you, I have a strained relationship with English folk, and I've tried it, and I would keep dipping in. Should I push her down? Come on, Smudge, that's not... She's gone. I would keep trying to dip in. Well, don't whack her with your cane. It's not that bad. There was just something about it. I just couldn't. There would be a couple of songs, and I just couldn't quite get into it. And then I heard this documentary about you on... It was on 4 Extra, 1:30 in the morning. Mm. And just the story blew me away, and we'll talk about the story in a bit. But, man, you're...
What was the story?
You were on the way up, and then you hit a truck. I mean, that's the story.
It's pretty good, yeah.
It's not a
bad bricks.
We'll get there in a minute. But the music grabbed me. It was the first time I'd heard English folk, or, you know, at least a kind of variation on it, where it made me go, whoa, this is incredible. How did you get started?
By having a method of playing,
right,
which was to hit the guitar and got a nice beat out of it, and you whack it with your ball of your thumb hits the bridge and you get a clicking, and it gives you like a drummer sound with the guitar, and that supported the guitar.
But how did you develop that? When did you? And I'm aware that your memory's not as good as it was. You've warned me, so there may be some blanks or there may be some lies. We just don't know. But do you remember when you first got a guitar? Who were you trying to be when you first picked up?
Trying to be Hank Marvin.
Oh, really?
Hank Marvin. Yeah.
Wow.
He's a great guitar player, I felt, and I wanted to be like him. So I played things like Apache and the Frightened City, and I played them on the guitar to learn. And I had a guitar, but it was the first guitar I got was a Chinese, and it cost me £4.10.
Yeah.
That's 10 shillings, that was old money. And I bought this guitar and trying to learn to play Hank Marvin stuff on this guitar.
I think Hank's been kind of forgotten, that he was sort of the first British guitar hero that we had, and he inspired a lot of people, and he's sort of been consigned to the history books a bit, I think.
Yeah, but he's a great, great guitar player. He was great. And the Shadows were ace. I didn't like Cliff Richards very much. I found him a bit of a strange character. But I didn't really like him very much, but I liked the guitar, yeah, the guitar playing.
Yeah. Well, then how? Because Hank Marvin was kind of rock, I guess you could rock and roll.
Really?
How did you then move from that to folk music and traditional folk music as well?
Well, I was asked to join a group by some people who lived at the Halliard, and they were a group in Chelmsford,
yeah,
and they played in this folk club they owned, and the guy who, the main singer, he used to have a magazine which was called Folk Music, I suppose, something like that, and
a title,
yeah. And he did the club. He had to own the club, and he wanted to keep the group going. And the guitar player at the time, Jeff Harris, he was a good guitar player, but he was leaving. He didn't want to become a professional, and he wanted to stay at home and do his job,
yeah.
Whereas the others, we wanted to get around and get some money and get some guitars and
get some girls, I'm guessing,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
just as Julia walks in, sorry.
yeah, it's all sorts of good fun. Yeah, and then I played the guitar, so I said I'll help you out playing the guitar a bit in the group, I'll go around with you. We'll do a few bookings. And so I became a professional at that point, professional singer, because I didn't really like doing the jobs that I'd been doing.
What were you doing? What was your day job?
The best job, actually, was as a lifeguard in a swimming pool, the Chelmsford swimming pool.
Wow.
And that was really good. But most of the jobs I was doing were office jobs, you know, and I tried to be, you know, sort of Mr. Smarty Pants in London, and it was rubbish. It was awful. Awful stuff. And so I wanted to stop that working. I thought, well, the idea of singing a few songs and getting money for that was a great idea. And I realised that there was good money there.
What year was this, roughly? Do you remember?
Ooh, late 70s, early 60s. I'm trying to think.
Well, it probably would have been like mid-60s, maybe 64, 65.
Yeah, well, I was about 20-ish when we started started playing in the group, and that was 47. That would be 67.
Okay,
67.
Because were you never tempted? Because obviously, people think of 67, they think of like Sergeant Pepper and the Beatles and the Stones and all of that.
Yeah,
you were never tempted to go down the rock route, the psychedelic kind of.
That's what I wanted to do.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't want to do folk?
No.
Oh.
No, I just got this opportunity to do get a few shekels, get a few bookings here. This
you
pulled
yourself out to get some. Oh, good for you, okay.
Yeah, I wanted to play rock and roll.
Yeah.
I wanted to be Hank Marvin playing Stratton City. That's what I was after doing.
But you ended up in the folk group.
Yeah.
Doing the rounds. How much were you getting paid for those gigs?
Well, I think at the time, it was about 20 quid per booking.
That's not bad for mid to late 60s, is it? That's pretty good.
Yeah, it was okay. It's good. It's good. It's good money. And also, in fact, it only took an hour. What I didn't realise, and I should have really thought about it, was that really the majority of the job was actually driving.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's driving, not singing. Singing, you sing for an hour.
Yeah.
You drive for about 6 hours.
I've heard musicians say they do the gigs for free. They get paid for the travelling.
Yeah.
That's what they earn their money for.
Yeah, and that's what's what wrecked me in the end is the travelling. And I used to go. I used to do a series of folk clubs, and then the last booking on a tour, I'd drive home,
right,
which was after the singing. So, and I was sort of whacked out tired.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what happened. I fell asleep and whacked a lorry.
Well, let's do that, and then we'll go back to the music. So I want to kind of celebrate the music. But an integral part of your story is the car crash after a gig. When was this? 82? 82.
I don't remember.
Of course you would have remembered. Sorry, I didn't. Of course you
for the mix.
You don't remember any of the night? You played a gig. From what I have read, you played a gig. Driving.
Glossop, it was.
Glossop,
that's where the booking was.
Do you remember the gig at all?
No.
No.
I did it because most of the towns in England I did
at
some point.
When you were gigging around that era, late 70s, early 80s, what was the setup? Was it just you with a guitar going off in a car on your own?
Yeah, you drive for a few hours to get to Manchester or somewhere and do the Manchester Folk Club, get some money and then go home if possible. Or if I was got another booking in Manchester region, I'd then stay overnight somewhere. And well, I also stay with some of the folk club, some of the folk operators. I used to do a tour for about maybe a week or so. I'd do in the same region. I'd do say Liverpool, Manchester. Birmingham, and then
go to an area for a week, hang out, and then come back home. So the accident. You're driving home, and you only know this because people have told you what happened.
Yeah.
You hit a truck carrying a load of bricks.
Yeah. Yeah, what happened? I think I fell asleep. I think I don't remember this at all.
Julia is shaking her head. Do you want to tell us?
Well, you don't know for something.
I know.
I mean, I drove over there so many times going back and forth to the hospital, and he'd just gone over a little bridge, and you shake. It was a bend, a notorious bend that has a road off it that reflects lights often if a car was parked up there. So we're not sure he went to sleep, or they reckon that he didn't
sleep.
He had a burst tyre, but that was probably caused through the accident. And it was a new car. So whether he was fiddling, you don't know. I don't know. But I don't think it was assumed you fell asleep, because for him, that time of night was quite normal.
Right.
A new car. I probably got a heater.
Maybe the heater. Yeah. I don't know. Who knows? We'll never know, Nick.
Maybe the guy came out without any lights on.
You're thinking of Prince Philip now.
Yeah.
You're getting things confused.
Yeah. It's very strange that a friend of the driver's actually came round to see me, which I thought was very odd, asking, did Nick remember anything about the accident? But that may have just been genuine concern.
When did you, Julia, find out that he'd been in really serious accident?
Well, about a couple of hours after. I was already up. I knew something was wrong. And so I was up waiting almost for a knock at the door.
Wow. I can't even begin to imagine. That must have been horrible.
It was. But I think, people, it must be the same for people whose husbands do anything. Yeah. They're on the road a lot. There's always that possibility, isn't there? Mm. And it's just that you get a sort of a sense of something. I always used to wake up just before he came in.
Mm. Right, okay, yeah.
And we always worked out roughly how far away he was.
Yeah.
Where he was thinking of nearly there, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't
want to dwell on the accident. So a couple more questions, then we'll kind of go back to the music, because that's the important stuff, and the accident is horrible. But
that's a great accident.
Thank you. But you did nearly die.
Oh yeah, I did.
When you cut you,
it took all the blood off me. It took all the blood out.
All of it.
No.
They replaced it with some other stuff.
Oh, we could put some other stuff in there. When you came out, is it true? I've heard that when people come out of a coma or a stroke, that and they struggle to speak, that all they can remember are swear words. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you'll just.
But I had a few months before I came out of the swear words.
Really?
I was out for a count. Yeah.
But they were the first words, more or less. And
I've heard this from a few people.
He'd make up words. Right. So you'd get odd words like oblong.
Oblong? Yeah.
Pajabas? Pajamas, Nick? No, not Birmingham. Never knew what they meant.
Mm.
Swear words. And I remember another singer, Tony Rose, his father had. I think he had a stroke or something. Mm. He said, I've never heard
his father swearing his whole life, he said, and this torrent of abuse came out.
I've heard if you go to stroke wards, there's because I don't know, I guess it's because the F word and the S word, they're so, they mean everything. They can mean, you know, beautiful things and horrific. They can mean everything, can't they?
So my means of expression, it's a necessity. You have to swear.
Let's go back to the music a bit. Your Penguin Eggs is a masterpiece. When did that come out? 81?
80.
Looking to the historian over there. What do you remember anything about that, recording that album, realising that this was something really different from what you'd done before?
No, I never think about it much. When I said done it, I'd done it, and I forget about it then.
Mm.
I never listened to it much, yeah. No, never used to listen to my own records.
Because it's cited as like one of the top 100 albums of all time, one of the 50 albums you must listen to before you die.
Between, who was it? Good rock singer, what's his name?
Was David Bowie one of them?
David Bowie, and the Rolling Stones, yeah. Well, I was in between them.
That's not bad, is it?
Yeah.
Number 79.
Not that you're keeping score or anything,
no.
But that's something to be, that's something to be incredibly proud of.
Yeah, great.
And Bob Dylan nicked your, didn't he nick the song off you?
Kennedy Owl,
the arrangement.
Yeah, Kennedy Owl.
That's a great song.
Yeah.
He nicked it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's famously, I wouldn't want to call him a plagiarist, but...
He's a great songwriter.
He's great. But he's a little bit of a tea leaf as well.
Oh, he probably is. But he's a great performer. I like him. Mm. I heard him in Perth, in Australia, doing a concert there, and he was really great.
I'm late to Dylan. I couldn't get into Dylan for years, and then last year I think it was Blind Willie McTell. I don't know if you know that song. That opened the gateway to Bob Dylan. I'm seeing him in concert in July for the first time. Yeah. I hear his concerts these days are very hit or miss. It's either going to be amazing or it's going to be a car crash.
Yeah.
We shouldn't really use that phrase. I just realised how inappropriate that was. Sorry, that wasn't deliberate. So you were saying before we started talking, you did the first two solo albums in 70, 71, I think they were.
Yeah. Really?
You don't rate them, though.
Oh, rubbish.
No, they're not, though, man. Why do you think that?
They were good. But the songs, they meant nothing, really, to me. I mean, that was a good thing. In a way, the songs meant nothing to me, because I didn't really like traditional folk songs. And what I wanted to do, actually, was, at the end, I was trying to change to become a contemporary singer rather than a traditional singer.
Right.
But I was known as a traditional singer. Who did ballads and all this stuff. And I didn't want to be that. I wanted to write songs myself. So I started to...
So is that why there was the big gap between the first two albums and then the next album? There's a gap of sort of 6, 7 years, something like that? Is that because you just didn't know what you wanted to say?
Probably me, it's laziness, because I was very lazy.
You're a lazy man.
I've always been a very lazy man. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I wasn't very, very lazy. Yeah. But it saved me in a lot of senses, yeah. So I wanted to become a songwriter rather than just a singer, you know. And I didn't really have any connection with any of traditional songs much, you know.
Right.
And so I wanted to sing songs which express what I felt myself.
So did you say, because I saw on one of the albums that you covered a Loudon Wainwright song and a Randy Newman song. Are those the kind of people you were aspiring to be?
Yeah. Hit Me With The Rhythm Stick was one song which got me going.
Really? Yeah. Ian Dury?
Yeah, fantastic.
You didn't record that, did you?
No, I didn't.
God, I'd love to hear a Nick Jones version of that. Imagine!
It was a great, great song. Yeah. But also the swimming song that... Loud Wainwright did, and that was from the McGarrigle Sisters. I learned it from the McGarrigle Sisters.
Right.
Because that one I was married to.
Of course.
Loud Wainwright.
Yeah.
And she died now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they were great as a group, the McGarrigle Sisters. Yeah. I fell in love with them. They were fantastic.
We had Loudon on the show. He came on the show and man alive, he can tell stories. It's obvious in his songs and his book that he wrote last year. He's an incredible man. Have you met him?
No.
Really?
Never met him. He's a great, great guy.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd say he was a great guy. I don't know whether he's a great
guy. He may have been a bastard, for all we know. No, I suspect not. I suspect he wasn't.
He might be boring. he might be a bigot, I know.
He was being recorded by a friend of ours who told him that Nick had recorded the swearing song and what had happened to Nick. And at the end of the show, after the show had turned off, he recorded the swimming song for Nick and said, here, Nick, buddy.
That's
classic.
A few other songs he put on the tape, didn't he?
I don't know whether Bath did, but he did that for you.
Yeah.
So that was really nice.
Yeah, it's good, chat there.
After the accident, did you... were you frustrated? Because obviously you were physically damaged. Yeah. You couldn't play guitar as well or at all?
At all.
Mainly
because of the right hand.
Right.
All the thing of the right hand was the outside of the car. Everything was smashed, the legs, arms, everything, and my eyes, everything. And it's outside. And the right hand was never there to play with the rhythm.
Right.
So I wanted to play the rhythm.
That was your technique.
Yeah, to get the rhythm. But I could never get the beats, and I had to spend ages trying to get the rhythm, being able to pluck the strings, and I couldn't organise these fingers at all. Mm. And it started to, gradually, after a while, it started to come back. Starting to come back now.
And there's obviously there's a little bit of, I hope this doesn't sound offensive, brain damage, in as much as that you forget words and you get a little bit jumbled and you're quite forgetful. That may be old age, Nick, I don't know.
No, I had to relearn the whole language.
Did you?
Yeah, I had to relearn. And these lovely nurses, they taught me all these words that I never knew, like promise and will you and won't you.
Wow.
And it was amazing. They taught me the words I didn't know.
As a performer and as a songwriter and as a musician, that must have been, frustrating. Can't even touch the surface of it, surely. How did you cope with that? I mean, did you come out and try and play again, or did you kind of give up? What was the deal?
No, I never gave up. I just wanted to play the guitar, and I just had to always practice and try and pick the strings, because I used to pick very individual strings and then whack them, and all things that my right hand used to do, and left hand was okay. I could play the chords, but I couldn't play the actual notes right with the right hand. And that was what's so frustrating, was I could never get the rhythm, and I wanted rhythm. You know?
Yeah.
This was all about.
This is what we were saying earlier. Hit me with your rhythm stick.
Yeah,
but your technique is, you can hear the right hand slapping the guitar and slapping the strings, and it's, you don't need a drummer. You've got it all going off in the right hand. And if you couldn't do that, that must have been tough for everybody, having... incredibly talented man not being able to express himself in a way that he would want to. That must have been tough for you, Julia.
Yeah, having to listen to
him. Listen to that racket.
Yeah.
And he still goes on. But the damage is as someone with a stroke.
Yeah.
So there's the spasticity that gets in the way of, he's going along fine and then it stops.
Listen to the wrong notes.
Brain doesn't connect. But, he's coped very well, and it was only because he was so laid back anyway. He used to say, people say, it's dreadful. And he said, yeah, but it could have been worse. I could have gone further on and been killed outright. That was always his attitude.
The world must have been surprised then when you... came back, I guess is the phrase, and did some gigs. What year would those gigs have been? Early 2000s? Again, we're looking to Julia.
It's not that long ago, is it?
Was it 2010?
Could be.
No, it's later than that, isn't it?
Oh, really?
I don't remember. I didn't remember.
It doesn't matter. Well,
it's not as long ago as that. Since we've been here, so it's about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So what made you do that after not playing since the accident?
Get some cash.
There you go.
We ran out of shekels.
It was really down to Stuart Lee.
Oh, the comedian, yes.
He did, he was curating at the Queen Elizabeth Hall, is it?
Mm-hmm.
On
the
South Bank.
The
South
Bank.
I can't remember now. But he had he wanted other singers to sing his songs.
Right.
And then, and I think you did one with Pete. And then after that, Sidmouth wanted to do it again, and he learnt a couple of songs because we thought it would be nice if he did it. Mm. And that's really how it started then. Mm. Yeah.
Are you nervous going back on stage?
No.
No, not bothered?
No, I was never nervous. But only time I was nervous is if there was someone else on the bill who was a big flash guy, you know,
yeah.
If Martin Carthy was on the bill, or Eric Clapton or somebody, I'd be nervous. But if I was by myself, I was the main star, yeah. I was okay, just... Enjoyed seeing him, yeah.
And you did a series of shows with your boy, Joe.
Yeah. It was great fun. That was because Joe is a great character, and
looks. I know it's not surprising. He's your son. He looks exactly like you. The eyebrows, the face, the everything. He looks. It's uncanny.
He's a great kid. Yeah, he's great. But what was good about it? Wanted a laugh. He laughed at everything, and that's a great thing. It's a good thing.
Well, I've seen a video of you two, and it is hilarious. Yeah. You're just taking the piss out of each other for the whole show. And it's quite funny because the audience don't... They're sort of like they're there for the songs, and they're there to see you, you know, thinking they'd probably never see you again. And then suddenly you two are just battling each other in the audience. Like, what is going on here?
There's one thing. It was Kennedy A.O. We had to especially do a guitar break, and he played the break, and it was complete rubbish. He fell the wrong notes, he took the wrong notes, he was out of time, everything. It was hopeless. And I was taking fits out with him then. It was
good. You were telling me you didn't even know he could play the guitar.
No, I didn't know, no. He'd learned over a period of time. He liked rock and roll.
Yeah.
He didn't really didn't like folk music much. No.
So what, he went away to college or something and came back?
He was working up in Newcastle. Working.
Yeah.
And couple of chaps he shared flat with, they were into music, and so really that's when he started playing with them.
Right.
Sort of got interested.
And he was into, like you, was into rock and roll as well, slightly harder rock, I think, like Iron Maiden and stuff, you were saying.
Yeah.
What was it like being on stage with your son? That must have, I'm assuming it was a thrill, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was exciting. Yeah, it's good. It's great. I was very proud of him. Yeah. He was a great kid. Yeah, it's really good. But he thinks nothing of it. He doesn't cash in on it.
No.
He could do loads of bookings, but he never does them. Never wants to do.
Well, we were saying before, it must be tough because I imagine there was a certain amount of pressure on him to kind of be you, to be the next chapter in the Nick Jones, you know, a tribute to my father. And I guess if you don't want to do that, you don't want to do that.
No, he doesn't. He could earn a living playing the guitar and singing and that, but he would never bother to do it.
You did a couple of new songs in there. Now, there was a song that I saw that's in the documentary. There's a great documentary about you. And the song called Now.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, it's a brilliant song.
It is a brilliant song. Well done for acknowledging it. Honestly, I think I listened to it. Yeah. You know, I'm going through a divorce and there's all kinds of stuff going on. So you get a poignant song like that. Yeah. Oh, it just gets me there, man. It's spiritual.
The great thing is that the only point in time when we really know history is gone and the future is not here yet. And what is here is now. And that's made me realise that this is what it's all about now.
Yeah.
I've got to be happy now. I don't want to be happy in 2 years' time, so I'll be dead then. I wasn't happy 2 years ago. That's a bit boring. Yeah. You know, that's now is important.
So when are you going to... You're writing songs all the time, are you?
I'm trying to, yeah.
How do you do it now if you're struggling with the guitar? Do you just kind of sit there with a tape recorder? What's the technique now for writing?
Well, if I feel that I've got something, that's an idea, I start to write things down and work with it that way. Just write things down and try and make it sound like it's a possible tune. And often the tunes themselves are simple, because the words express the tune, and people don't realise this, I think, that the tune is easy because the meaning of the words tells you what note to play. You know?
Right, really, okay.
Surprising.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And what is there a plan? Are you going to record these songs? Are you going to release these songs?
That'd be a nice idea, yeah.
Well, do it then.
Do it.
Julia was telling me that you'd recorded a version of Now, but you and Joe didn't think it was good enough.
Yeah.
That you're perfectionists.
Yeah.
And you don't want to put it out.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't remember that.
It is going out, though.
Is it going out?
Yeah, on one of the topics, introduction.
Oh,
to
fantastic.
Is that
right.
With the piano?
That's with Linda playing, yeah. Piano. I don't think Joe's playing on it. No, he did it with piano.
And you must have heard his new songs. Any good? Oh, God, this is awkward.
No.
This is awkward.
Nick wrote Now a few years ago. It was after the accident.
Right.
And he tends to get focused on one. I mean, we've got loads of drafts of things.
Right,
that,
okay.
Very few actually come to fruition.
Right, okay, I see.
Yeah.
Right, because they're crap.
Yeah. Nick's not a natural songwriter by his own admission.
Okay, so you kind of got to drag them out.
To get an idea, which is sort of philosophically worth doing. Yeah. And the Now song was, that was, once I got the idea there, that was it. And it was good.
You going to do any more shows? Or are you done playing live shows?
Who knows?
Really? It's not.
I'm not that dead in the future.
Come on, man. We're all going to be dead in the future. Yeah. We're all dying, but.
We're all slowly dying, yeah, that's true. But, maybe. I mean, it'd be nice to do two bookings every now and then, but.
Yeah.
If we could tell,
I don't like travelling.
Right. Yeah.
It's too much for him.
Yeah.
And Joe lives in the north.
Yeah.
Backing tapes. That's what everyone's doing now. You need backing tapes. You need some. I'm joking, of course. You don't want backing tapes. That would be terrible.
Yeah.
And his voice, isn't that strong these days.
Yeah. But this, I think, because listen, I'm a big fan of a lot of old groups. I like the Beach Boys and the Monkees and all of that kind of stuff.
Monkees are rubbish.
Shut up, Nick, please, don't. I don't want to fall out with you. But the Beach Boys are great.
Yeah,
but they're old, and a lot of their shows are kind of fueled by the love from the audience. Again, in that documentary, in the DVD of the concert that you sent me, Julia, you can feel the love from the audience coming off towards you and Joe.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good fun, yeah.
Well, I
wasn't a Beach Boy, so.
There's only one original Beach Boy. The rest are all kids now doing it. That's what they do, they get their boys to come in and do it.
Yeah.
You got any regrets? You don't seem like the kind of man that would have regrets.
I regret driving the wrong place.
Well, yeah.
I regret hitting the road.
Are you bitter about that? Is there any part of you that is like, shit, that was a bloody truck?
Well, no, because, I mean, that's what happened.
Wow.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it does matter to me. But the worst thing I did, they made me have to play the guitar better.
Yeah.
But the good thing is, as a guitar player in the old days, when I used to go in the folk clubs, I wasn't a very good guitarist. I had a reputation of being a decent guitarist, but that was not really true. I was a bit of a fake guitarist, guitarist, yeah.
Is that what you think?
Yeah, I do.
Isn't that funny?
I got a good rhythm.
Yeah.
The rhythm beats, but I used to tune the guitar so as if it was something else.
But you did session work. You did session work for one of my mum's favourite singers, Barbara Dixon.
Yeah.
You don't get asked to go and play on other people's records if you're crap.
No, yeah.
So you must have had something going
up
here.
Oh, yeah, got a good rhythm.
Mm.
But I never really understood how to play the natural the guitar as a main instrument. It was a clever instrument. The way the frets are laid down, which is it's a fantastic guitar, but I never used to play in a straight tuning.
That's right.
I used to do fake tunings, yeah.
But I think your playing is unconventional,
yeah.
But unique. It's very, very... There are very few guitarists who can say they've got their own unique style of playing, you know. And having recently come to your back catalogue, listening to your stuff, I can now tell, you know, I could tell your guitar playing from another guitarist because it's you.
Yeah.
It's your style.
The great thing about, I felt, what I liked about my guitar was that there's sort of space. There's lots of gaps, which people fill the gaps in themselves from listening. You know, and the words fill the gaps as well. But some people, they play too fast and they've too many notes, they wreck it. But one of the guitarists knocked me out was, say, like Martin Carthy. Right. He used to lose a lot of space.
Yeah.
And that was a great thing, the space. And I realised that what the guitarist needs is not to play the guitar too much, but to play it at the right moment. Ray Cooder, he was my space man. He was a great guitar player because there was lots of space in it. Yeah.
I think that's an excellent observation. When we do the radio show, me and my friend Catherine, one of our top weapons is silence. Because you get radio hosts and they just talk. They've got to fill the gap. No. Be silent.
Yeah.
Let the guests speak or let the listener, like you say, fill in the blanks. What guitar were you playing? You had a custom-made guitar, didn't you? Do you remember?
File guitar was right. The guy who made those was a great guy up in Manchester Way, and he was a really nice chap. His guitar was what I always had.
Hey, listen, it's so nice to see you both. Thank you so much for inviting me to your home. I've had a lovely drive through the moors, sheep and ponies in the middle of the road.
Watch out for them.
There's a sign saying drive slowly. Then they have a tally board of the number of sheep. We've lost 9 sheep this month and 3 ponies. Yeah. So
because they've changed, they've taken off the restrictions. It used to be 40 miles an hour,
right?
And they've done away with it.
Oh, so now it's anything goes.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Because who knows? I have no idea.
Oh no, that's crazy. I was driving very good. As soon as I saw the first sheep in the road, it's like, oh right, okay, this is where we are. Yeah. Let's just go nice and slow.
Yeah.
Because they sleep on the road. When the foals come, they just, dart across. Yeah. You have to have we usually do just about 30, especially in lambing and foaling.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, it's very nice to meet you. Are you able to? I've got a couple of CDs to sign. Are you able to sign?
Oh yeah.
Okay, beautiful. Fine. I'm not going to put them on eBay. One's for me. One's for my mate's dad who had a ticket to see you, and then you had your bloody accident. So he will be. This will make up. This will make up.
Sam, sorry.
Hey, listen, Nick. So nice to meet you, Julia. Thank you so much for inviting me into your home. And I keep my fingers crossed that maybe I get to see you do a show one day.
Right.
Thank you, Nick.
Okay.
Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Davey is on the line. Good evening, Davey.
Hey, good evening, Ian and Catherine.
Good evening.
Sammy,
can you hear me? What have you got for us, Davey boy?
Not a lot. I just wanted to say very much appreciated for the work that you do on the airwaves, yourself, Kath and Sam.
Okay, well, Sam
doesn't do anything.
Sam doesn't
really
do that much. I'm going to be honest. I don't mind the mention, but I mean, Sam's like a part timer now. He's in every other week. Amy does.
Yeah, but listen, he felt it was a good call through you.
He puts Alan Caddick on.
Puts everyone through. Don't
but he's also put me on as well.
Yes, I'd lump you in with Alan Caddick. I'm joking. Sam is an integral part of the team. We're big Sam fans.
Listen, I am. Just sitting here in my house in Edinburgh, I really appreciate the way you spoke to the young lassie that spoke to you earlier on.
Okay, Ruby, yeah.
And, yeah, Ruby. And, you take an awful lot of crap in the media.
Do I?
From
whom? Tell me whom. Tell me who's doing it. Whom is doing it? I will go and bust their ass.
Well, you know the crap. You know the one I'm talking about.
I know.
But you are still there.
Yes.
To try and help people through it because of your life experiences yourself.
Yes.
And you've never shied away from that.
Well.
And you've been brave and strong enough and big enough to stand up and say, this is what I've done in my life.
Yep.
This is where I've been.
Yep.
This is where I am now. And I'm living this life now. If somebody phones you up, if you can help them in any way, you do it. And I really, really was annoyed and disgusted and disappointed by the guy that phoned right after Ruby.
Who's Scott? I should have just dumped that. That was my bad.
No, but Ian.
Yep.
This is what it's all about, man.
Yes.
It's different life strands, isn't it?
Yeah, different life strands. It is. Well, listen, we're all...
It's life experiences.
Yeah.
I've got an experience of life that's no, maybe, conventional, no perfect, no brilliant, whatever.
But it's your life.
Other people...
Yeah.
...have got different life strands.
Yeah.
...that they went through. And they cannot touch the people that have been through the shit, seen it, done it and came through the other side. And I'll tell you something, young man.
Yes, sir.
Yourself, and Catherine and Samuel,
well,
you're three of the people that's doing a hell of a lot to help people.
All right. Well, listen.
I've had the shit hit the fan for them and, you know, come through the other side.
I wonder if shit did actually hit a fan. I don't think it would do that much.
Oh, it would be very messy. Come on.
Against the wall.
It would. I don't know if it would. It depends on the consistency. Yeah. I think the smell would be the issue. But it's not like it's going to hit the fan and then suddenly everyone in the room is covered in faeces.
How big is the fan?
How big is the faeces?
The one thing you've got to ask yourself is...
Yeah, do you feel lucky?
Is it going to be a log or is it going to be a splat?
Okay, thanks very much for your call, David. I appreciate that.
I mean, you're asking the questions that we all need to...
I ask that every single morning, Davey, when I go to the bathroom. Is it going to be a splatter? Here's the big news story of the day, and well done for the Mail Online for sourcing this. Linda Robson seen smoking a cigarette on day out with husband Mark 9 years after quitting for health reasons. I'm glad the Mail Online have got this. This is important. At last, we've got the dirt on Robson. We have got her... bang to rights. Don't believe it? There's pictures. She is busted. Let me read the story.
Is she like 14?
Linda Robson was seen smoking a cigarette as she stepped out in North London on Monday.
North London?
9 years after she quit smoking due to health reasons. The Loose Women panellist, 59, stood in the sunshine as she puffed on a cigarette with her husband Mark by her side, 3 years after an interview in which she said she had kicked the habit. Liar!
Do you get the feeling that the reporter only gave up smoking because he thought he was doing it alongside Linda Robson? He feels very let down.
Linda looked focused as she lit up in the street before climbing into a car and continuing the cigarette. She looked focused. Focus.
God, it's as if she was enjoying it.
This is outrageous. Then the caption there, smoke. Linda Robson seen smoking a cigarette. Caption, break. The Loose Women panellist, 59, stood in the sunshine as she puffed on a cigarette. The star, who previously admitted to starting smoking in her early teens...
What?
..cut a casual figure in a jumper, jeans... and fur-lined jacket as she headed out.
No shoes?
It says here, the Mail Online has contacted representatives for Linda...
to
and
say she's
going
to have to smoke the whole packet.
The Mail Online... I'm glad... Well, they've contacted representatives for Linda and ITV for comment, but they've not had the decency to get back to you, Mail Online. Don't let this lie. Don't drop this. She is a liar! My kids look up to Linda Robson as an inspiration. She's smoking 9 years after she said she stopped smoking for health reasons. The story continues.
Gosh.
In a candid interview with The Mirror in 2016, the actress revealed all about her addiction to smoking. She estimated she smoked around 20 cigarettes a day starting from when she was around 12. Well, in that case, you can double the amount that she claims to have smoked. In April 2017, Linda revealed she had smoked throughout her first pregnancy as she was unaware of the health risks. Linda, a parent to children Lauren, as well as Lewis and Bobby with Mark, conceded that her own decision to smoke during her first pregnancy may well have been different had she been aware of the implications. I smoked all through my pregnancy because I didn't know the risks. It was about 34 years ago, she explained. Outrageous. Well done, Mail Online. That is proper journalism that is dying. So I'm going to make a donation to the Mail Online's website of £50.
Well, now we know the answer to the question posed in that famous theme tune.
Oh, yeah.
What'll I do when you...
Here we go. It's quite a slow one.
Far away and I am blue. What'll I do? Smoke my bloody head off.
There we go. That's exactly what she's going to do. This is Talk Radio.